Welcome aboard, you people. It is a Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlanza. Yes. So for another day of broadcast insolence.
The ground's very mushy today. Have you noticed?
The sky is mushy.
The sky's so kind of mushy looking.
I'm not sure how it. You walk outside and you feel like you're in a. You're literally like your head is on a wet pillow. Is how it feels when you're outside.
You know, they say pea soup. I would say kind of like marshmallow soup.
Yeah, it's ugly. It's bad. Although I did hear, I believe, I heard somebody here, Kim, talking about this is the Tom Skilling forecast, so we must believe it because it's Tom Skilling.
Absolutely. He wrote it. He had no question.
He has his own thoughts about this.
Mm-hmm.
That there will be maybe some sighting of the orange ball in the sky tomorrow.
Ooh.
That would be helpful. Any day that you get sun in the sky in Chicago in November is a good day.
It's true, because we have so many months now where we don't get enough of it. So,
oh, no.
So when we see it, we appreciate it.
The dead, gray, white skies of winter are upon us.
Got to get one of those special lamps.
Winter is coming.
Winter's here.
I do have I have one of those lamps, and it's not working.
No.
All right, let me tell you what's coming up on the program here today. We got Mr. Joe Donlan going to join us from the WGN-TV newsroom. He'll have his own. He needs to testify as to what happened over the weekend. He has asked the committee to be allowed to testify. He would like to clear the record based on what Mr. Ben Bradley said about our lost weekend together in South Bend, Indiana.
Can I call supporting witnesses? There's only been one piece of photographic evidence that's been submitted publicly, I've noticed, from that weekend.
Right.
And you both, and all three or four of you, the all of you went on the road trip. You look very happy and, you know, like you're going for a fun day out at Notre Dame to see the big game, and we didn't see any pictures that followed that.
Well, there was a moment where we lost the baby, and then we had to deal with the tiger. I'll never forget that part. And then we were being chased by an Asian Tong gang member. Hmm. There was a lot of things that happened there.
So then who got left on the roof?
Ben. Ben Bradley got left on the roof. All right, so that's coming your way. So he's going to join us coming up in just a few minutes here. Then we are going to talk to, if you've not seen this story today, it is wildly
powerful.
Disturbing.
Powerful. My gosh, I was in tears reading it.
How often do schools lock children away alone and terrified? And it happens across the state of Illinois.
I honestly didn't even know these quiet rooms existed. I went to CPS. I don't remember there ever being quiet rooms, and that's what they're called. They have other names for them. But when they go into the data and show what the kids are saying to try to get out of them, some of them would break your heart.
So you've seen the pictures. The Tribune ran it, and we're going to talk to one of the reporters from ProPublica, which is an organization that does pro bono coverage of things like this and research and investigation of things like this.
Especially like data-rich kind of investigative stories. And they really dug deep in the state of Illinois across all school districts to look at thousands and thousands of cases when these so-called quiet rooms were being used, how they were being used, why they were being used, the circumstances. And it's supposed to be documentation for every time it's being used. They found that they weren't, but they also found that when they were, just a lot of questions about what was documented.
And then we've got Jennifer Smith-Richards going to join us in the Chicago Tribune to do this story. And just look on the Tribune website, or you can take a look at, if you have the app, the Tribune app. The pictures are disturbing about what some of these rooms look like. And they're in a lot of public schools, not only throughout Chicago, but throughout the state of Illinois.
Right.
So
And things like, I'm sorry, I ripped the paper, please just let me out. The things that the kids were saying, and again, we have to understand more of the context, which I know they'll provide for us, but the things that the kids were saying and the reasons they were put in the room didn't always seem to make sense.
Right. And we had that story just a couple of months ago about the kid that was thrown out into the cold, right, last year?
Absolutely.
In school, without a coat on? Actually, earlier in the last winter, into the spring, and thrown out into the street by the security guards, and they had a totally different story that they told
before the video was released.
Right, and then there was video from inside the school showing, they said the kid had run away from the school. And the video showed that actually a security guy took him and threw him out onto the street in shirt sleeves on a day where it was 32 degrees outside.
Into the cold without his coat.
Right.
And shut the door. He was not allowed back in.
Right. Now, I know kids are tough. I mean, and you know, there's parents here. You got and anybody who's a parent, they know sometimes kids can go bad. And sometimes kids can, even a good kid can have a bad day. And then there are some kids that just have a lot of bad days.
Mm-hmm.
But this is not the way to handle it. And this is not what we anticipate our schools to be doing either. Because I don't know, I didn't grow up with it. And we, and, you know, my generation's only halfway ruined the world. So we're, you know, I don't know, what is Generation X? What have they done? We're the generation who's getting away with it because no one's bothered to talk.
You know, no one's really on the X child.
Right. Everybody's worried about the baby boomers and the millennials. And we're the ones going, don't worry about it. We're fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
But you're right. The question is, what do you do with children who are acting out and being overly disruptive over all the time?
And we'll do that coming up after the bottom of the hour news. Right now, Lauren Lapka can take a look at the skies and the roads.
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News' Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggetts, and Sarah Gindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's Thanksgiving morning. It starts at 8 a.m. It's an amazing parade. You should go. WGN-TV is where you can watch it live if you can't make it down there.
And speaking of that, Joe Donlan joins us right now from the WGN-TV newsroom. Mr.
Yeah,
Donlan?
That's a fun parade.
I love it.
It really is. I enjoy, too, where Dean Richards normally goes and just lets everyone think he's Tom Skilling. That's
Tom.
Normally how that goes.
That's Tom Skilling. That is, Dean just smiles and waves.
Yeah, politely, hey. Yes. Hi.
Takes in all the love. That's right. Yeah, one of the most universally loved people in Chicago.
Now when Tom is on it, oh my gosh, forget it. You might as well not even be on the float because everyone's yelling at Tom and wants to say hi and taking pictures with him.
Even upstage is Bozo, I found.
Oh my gosh.
By a lot.
Yeah, it's like if you ever hang out with Skilling, it's like hanging out with Elvis.
Are you going to be on the float this year?
Yes, I'll be on it this year.
That's like, you know what I was thinking? Now that we're talking about this, I was thinking maybe what we could do is we could go call that guy who drove us to Notre Dame.
Limo Bob?
Limo Bob, and we could have Limo Bob put the... We could be in the parade installation right behind your float,
yeah.
And it would be you, me, and Ben hanging out of the sunroof.
Oh,
right.
Gosh.
I did tell everybody the truth about that we did lose the baby. We were confronted by a tiger. We went to Mike Tyson's house accidentally.
Yeah, so we can paint Limo Bob's. What did Belushi have on his car at the end of the parade in Animal House?
Get that.
Yeah, I don't want to say it out loud, but we can paint that on the hood. I think Limo Bob is probably scarred from that weekend.
It was really something. But we did have a good time, and now we're refusing to talk about it. They're all mad at us that we didn't give too many details.
No, you didn't. You have a picture from the beginning of the journey and then nothing.
Well, that's all, but we remember, too. All right, let's talk about what's happening at WGN TV News this afternoon and tonight.
Yeah, we have a lot on the docket today. As we know, it's a busy day. Where do you want to start, Ro? Do you want to start with the find in the DuSable Harbor? Let's start
there.
Because,
yeah, start there.
That's what everyone's talking about today, and that is these two young men who've been missing since late Sunday night, early Monday morning. They disappeared without a trace. No one knew really where they had gone. They just knew they had left this River North bar early in the morning. And they hadn't been seen since. So this morning, there was a cell phone ping that police picked up and tracked from one of the men's phones to this area at DuSable Harbor. If you've been down this area downtown, it's essentially right along the lake trail right there, just south of the Chicago River, and it's due east of Randolph. So if you've ever been in that area, say you exit Lakeshore Drive to get off onto Randolph and then either go up to Columbus or get into downtown, you can go right there at Randolph, and there's a little turnaround, a little circle. You're kind of seeing it if you're on CLTV right now. Well, apparently this car, for some reason and somehow, made it straight through. And I know there are barricades there, but I don't know if they're concrete or cemented into the concrete or how that all works. But either way, they got through there, ran over some bushes and shrubs, and got right in, drove right into the water. You can see the sheen of oil as well. So this became clear at about 3 o'clock this morning that there had been an issue. My wife was actually walking in that area this morning and talked to some workers who had noticed that the bushes had been trampled and pulled out of the ground. And that was also an indication that the car had traveled due east of Randolph and right into the water at DuSable Harbor. And clearly the two young men, 21-year-old Antonio Lemon and 22-year-old Joey Ramos, were unable to get out of that vehicle. That's where we stand with that investigation.
Hey, Joe, their car that they were in, or that is not known at this time?
I'm not sure on that, Anna, but I can double check. It was their car that they were found. Was that the Dodge they were looking for that was pulled out? Yes, yes, it was.
Okay.
It did,
and I know they were last seen leaving a nightclub, and the family had no idea where they were. And then this happens.
So they were hoping for the best. And today, it was so sad to hear from them last night. All those family members, you know, clearly distraught and just making it clear that this is not something that they would have done, just disappear without a trace.
Right.
And, you know, when you get to this point, and in any investigation, your heart certainly sinks because you think the worst, of course. You know, these are kids who, you know, wouldn't just up and disappear.
No.
So something was clearly up, and today we're getting a little better idea of what happened.
So sad.
This kind of an accident has happened a number of times downtown, and especially with people who aren't familiar with the way that the river inlets all over this area, just a couple blocks south and a couple blocks north of the river before you get to the lock system.
Right. Yeah, and it's not real well lit down there.
No.
And
again, we've had people walk in Streeterville.
Mm-hmm.
There's that area just north of the river and a little bit east by Illinois Street.
Right,
there's an inlet there where some boats dock during the summer.
Mm-hmm.
On more than one occasion, you've had people sort of stumble out of the bars around there and then walk right into the water there because it's dark.
Right.
And then this area that you're talking about on East Randolph, This particular inlet has had this happen before, too, where people have tumbled in or they get lost or they've driven their car into an area that they shouldn't be driving.
Yeah, and you hear about this on occasion where people get lost or maybe their nav takes them into a situation or an area where they're not familiar with the landscape and they end up driving into bodies of water. This does happen on occasion, unfortunately, when people get lost or they don't know where they are. This does unfortunately happen, and as we saw here today, it had a tragic end for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, we'll wait to see if there was any kind of foul play here too, but there's a simple first explanation, but we'll just have to see if there's
guess is too is that now you'll look at what needs to change as a result. I mean, because like I said, if those barriers aren't cemented into the ground right there, they probably should be, because as we've seen here now, a car's gone through that area, through the bushes and the shrubs, and then right into the harbor. So I'm sure they'll be looking at some safety improvements as a result to make sure people don't drive through that area again.
Yeah, the lake can be very, very dangerous, especially this time of year, and we're already learning. There's another story today. I don't know if you guys are covering it, but I just wanted to mention it because we wanted to talk about it later on in the program, that up along Lakeshore Drive, there's been all this incursion because the lake levels have been so high.
Right, right. Yes.
And so up near the Evanston border, there's entire beaches that are washed away, and there's homes that are actually now having the waves are lapping up against these homes, and what they're trying to do is create some kind of a barrier there.
Right.
And you know, the lake does drag people in. It's like any large body of water. You can't turn your back on it.
Right.
So in this time of year,
especially. They're building all these new walls down there with borders to try to at least stop the erosion and not have it get any worse. Because a lot of these areas, even closer into the city, Rogers Park and Juneau Beach, these are areas that are really getting impacted by the high levels and eroding badly.
Yeah.
I got about a minute left here. Dr. Chaos, you're doing this series about Dr. Chaos. This is right after 9/11.
Right after 9/11, right. It's an interesting story that I literally just stumbled on the internet. I was doing some research, and this happened, and I thought, wow, how interesting. Well, he was arrested in 2002 in the tunnels of UIC carrying a vial of cyanide, and police later would come to find out that he had more than a pound of cyanide that he had hidden under a Blue Line station downtown. He was arrested and then did 20 years in a supermax prison, and as I continued to research this story, I thought, I clicked on a link about his legal case and said, oh my goodness, he's just been released. So I thought, we need to find this guy and learn more about what happened back in 2002 and what he's doing now. So last night we had part one where we explained sort of what happened in 2002. Tonight we explain who Dr. Chaos is. That's what he called himself. Tomorrow we start the search for him, heading up to Green Bay, and then the day after that we're back in Chicago.
And you got one of the true crime podcasts.
Exactly.
Doing this too.
I love it.
Along with it too. Yeah,
I saw you knocking on doors and the whole thing in the promo.
Yeah, no spoilers though.
You're like that Dateline dude.
That's right.
Right. Next thing you know, Joe Donlin's going to be in your kitchen.
Keith Morrison.
You know,
it all did not appear as it seemed.
You'll never believe what happened next.
Yes, exactly.
That a guy shows up with a six-pack, you know, in some kid's parents' kitchen. What are you doing here?
Oh,
what are you
expecting? That was to catch a predator stuff, you mean. Yeah.
So, I like that too. I want you to do both.
Yeah, it's called Chasing Chaos, and it continues tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday night.
All at the 9 o'clock?
Yep, all at 9 o'clock.
All right. Aren't you feeling any better, Joe? I just want to ask you that question.
Oh, I feel great.
Okay, yeah. I'm just getting over it now.
Last you saw him?
Yeah.
Good to see you guys.
All right, thanks, Joe.
All right, see ya.
There he goes, Joe Donlan, WGN TV News. You can see him at the 5, 6, 9, and 10. Ben Bradley is on the 4, but he's on the desk right now waiting for as the impeachment inquiry continues on. We've got the news for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in 10. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, we have Lakedra Chavis with us. She's a reporting fellow at ProPublica, and Jennifer Smith Richards, who's with the Chicago Tribune. And there was a story today, a front page story, that is, oh, I don't know, it's on the app. It's a front page story. I'm going to just have to go with that. This is something I'd never really heard of before. There are these quiet rooms that schools, public schools have, and I'm assuming private schools too, but this is specifically looking at public schools that have these quiet rooms, not only throughout Chicago, but throughout the state, in which kids are placed if they are, I guess, assumed to be belligerent. Is that right, Jennifer?
It could be for any number of reasons. The Illinois law is pretty clear that they're only supposed to be used for physical safety concerns. But what we found across the state in hundreds of school districts is that schools are using them for things like being disruptive. We found kids who had spilled milk or water or, you know, got upset because they couldn't use the trike they wanted to use, who ended up in these quiet rooms. Some school districts call them calming rooms or reflection rooms, but the truth is they're seclusion rooms.
They're basically padded jail cells is what they look like. At least the picture, some of them do, because that's what the pictures that you ran in the paper look like.
Yeah, many of them are padded. They're often very, very small. We've had people describe them like cells or like closets, you know, storage spaces. Mm-hmm. And many of them have doors, and those doors get often closed and the children locked inside.
19 states prohibit them, but Illinois is number one in terms of the use of them. I was so surprised by that. I went to CPS. I have family members who are in the CPS system, and I wasn't aware that they were used here in Chicago. Clearly across the state, some of them you profiled. Did you find them in Chicago as well?
Chicago actually has a policy against their use.
That's what
against
I
the use of what Illinois calls isolated timeout. But they are. They're in many, many districts, suburban.
Is that just for the public schools or for all schools in the city of Chicago?
Chicago public schools specifically.
Okay. All right. So there may be private schools that employ these.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And is this a new phenomenon?
No. So this is a practice that has kind of come over into schools from psychiatric facilities, residential treatment facilities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's something that just kind of came into schools as children with more challenging behavior and different kinds of special needs began being served in just about every public school.
The way you both tell this story is just so it's heart wrenching in some ways, because you feature a lot of the quotes. You actually dug so deep into the data here, thousands and thousands of instances where kids were put in these rooms and the circumstances why, and you looked at all that. And when you tell the stories of what was documented, like, I'm sorry, I ripped the paper, please just let me out. Why am I even in here? I'm alone. I want my mom and dad. I love them. Help me. Help me. It really, God, it just breaks your heart to hear that. And then you wonder, well, why are these being used? Are there better ways to do this? And what did you determine?
Yeah, so there are some districts throughout the state that have gone away with their use of seclusion. So any seclusion rooms that they might have in that district, they've turned them into what they call sensory rooms or calming rooms. And what those rooms have are, you know, toys and pillows that students can use to calm down. So that's one alternative. And when we've talked to school administrators about that shift, they say it's a really big cultural shift for their staff to move away from the practice of seclusion to, you know, telling a student, you know, if you need this space to calm down, you can go to it voluntarily, and, you know, you can leave whenever you want to.
From that space.
Yes, from that space.
Right. So the idea of actually taking a kid and throwing them in this space involuntarily and with the locked door, that still is going on, right?
Yes.
Throughout the state.
Yes.
But school district by school district is deciding how they actually want to go here. This is interesting because, you know, in the public school system, you know, you talk about the public school system, you've got this wide range of behavior that exists.
For sure.
I mean, I think that has always existed, though. You know, I don't think that it's necessarily a new phenomenon. And yet this was strategy that was developed, what, 20 years ago? How long ago has this been going
on? Decades ago.
Sure, more than that, from the 70s. I mean, I think it's something that most school administrators would tell you. They're not advertising. They're not thrilled to, you know, explain that this is one of the tools that they use to work with kids who have really challenging behavior. But it's there, and it is you know, frequently being used. We documented more than 20,000 times in one school year plus a few months of the next school year that Illinois
Public Schools
had used it.
So basically in a year, basically.
A little over a year, right.
Throughout Illinois.
Yes.
20,000 events of this.
That's right.
And of those 20,000 events, how many would you say were for the safety? What percentage do you think was actually for the safety of the child or the people around the child?
So of those 20,000 incidences of seclusion that happened, the reports that we got back that had enough narrative for us to sort of make that determination, it was in a third of those cases, so about 12,000 reports. In a third of those cases, staff did not document on these reports that there was a physical safety issue leading up to the student being placed in seclusion.
So they were being used more as punishment rather than what they were supposed to actually be used for, sort of to control if you're a harm to others or to yourself. That sort of condition.
What's the age range here, too? How young, how old?
One of the youngest cases that we saw was a child who was just 5 years old. And we've also seen incidences where, you know, the student is much older, so, you know, 16, 17. But a lot of the documents did not have an age, so we can't say for sure, but that's just what we saw.
Do they have grade level or just?
Yes, grade levels. It depends because Illinois does not require a specific report that schools fill out. so the information varies.
That's it. They go, oh, we're too bureaucratic. It's an argument against that. That's really shocking. But would you say there's a kind of a median age where this is used? I mean, is it?
Yeah, I mean, we documented many, many cases, thousands of cases where the children were fifth grade or younger.
Got it.
And so we did tend to see that this was happening to younger kids.
All right, hold on one second. We'll come right back. Lakedra Chavis is with us from ProPublica and Jennifer Smith Richards from the Chicago Tribune. It's a story today, front page story about quiet rooms being used throughout schools in Illinois to isolate kids. And is this the right way to handle it or not? 312-91-7200 if you want to weigh in. Right now, Lauren Lapka is looking at the skies and the roads. Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. We are talking with Lakedra Chavis from ProPublica and Jennifer Smith Richards from the Tribune. They did this story today together about what are called quiet rooms in schools. These are isolation rooms that kids are sent into if they have been bad, they've been determined to be a risk. I mean, theoretically, the idea here is that if you're a risk to yourself or the other kids, then you're put in the room. But if you're a risk to yourself, these kids are being put in often. I mean, the picture that we saw in the paper today, I mean, these basically are cells, you know, padded cells in some of these schools that kids are going into. And are there any documented instances where kids are hurting themselves in these cells?
Absolutely. I mean, there are lots of injuries that happen with the use of seclusion, sometimes to staff. I mean, you know, staff, when they're trying to put kids who don't want to go into a seclusion room, you know, they risk injury to themselves. But of course, the kids hurt themselves. They don't want to be locked. They don't want to be locked in there. And so they'll try to pry at the door. They'll throw themselves against the wall. They'll try to, you know, pry the door open, rip their fingernails, you know, bloody their knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
It's very traumatic for some kids, and they work very hard to try to get out of the rooms.
224, these rooms are generally for special ed students. You have to see the behavior some of these students display before you place your judgment. It's for their safety. I would imagine in some cases it is for their safety. And did it work in some cases for some students?
I'm sure that there are some students who were able to regulate themselves and calm down. And absolutely, there are some very challenging behaviors from kids.
Right.
But by and large, what we saw in the records was kids who became more upset after going into the rooms. They were not able to calm themselves down. They have disabilities that sometimes make it very difficult to calm down when they get upset.
What percentage of them did you find, roughly, were children with disabilities that they utilized these rooms for, these quiet rooms? Was it a large portion?
It absolutely is a large portion. I can't tell you exactly the percentage, but certainly this is happening much, much more frequently to kids with special needs.
Special needs.
And much more frequently to boys than girls.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, and aggressive behavior and stuff like that, right, are getting shot. And that's one of the issues. We have also some people are calling and asking now, because I thought we made this clear earlier. But this is both in private and public schools, right, throughout the state of Illinois, except for Chicago Public Schools, which no longer have this.
Yes, yes.
Right. Did they ever have it? Did Chicago Public Schools ever use this that we know of?
We don't know. Okay. We know that their policy against using isolated timeout has been in place for about 11 years. And so it's not in recent history has this been a practice of the Chicago Public Schools. Right. But the reason that we focused on public schools is that's where we could obtain the records. Certainly this is happening in private schools, certainly in many private schools that serve kids with disabilities. But we were able to obtain the records and get this glimpse into how they're being used in public schools specifically.
This is 847. I'm a special education teacher for the last 7 years in the far west suburbs. What are you suggesting the solution is? And she goes on to explain, when a student refuses work, refuses instruction, refuses optional assignment, becomes defiant, verbally aggressive, sometimes physically, administration no longer wants these students to be sent to the office, I guess because they're disruptive there. So what can you do? What do you do? I don't know if that was part of your research or really part of this investigation, but have you seen other ways that suggestions that have worked better?
There absolutely are alternatives out there. Some that are in use in districts across the country and even here in Illinois. But I would ask the question back to that listener: why is it okay to put a child in a seclusion room for refusing to do work? The law simply doesn't allow that. There are lots of times when kids are defiant and don't want to do work, and maybe even, you know, swearing at the teacher. It's certainly not acceptable behavior. You certainly don't want that in a school. But those are not valid reasons to put a child in seclusion under Illinois law, period.
But when it does pass to those where they are not only they're disruptive, but potentially harmful to other students, throwing books, some kind of violent behavior, then it crosses that line where it's up to the school, the people within that school, to determine how do I handle this so that the other kids can stay in class and continue to learn and that this student is dealt with in the right way for that child.
Absolutely. And that's a tough situation.
Isn't it?
Yeah, sure. There's a whole school of thought out there that asks school staff to think about how to help the child before that moment of crisis. And so they teach teachers and aides how to stand in a non-threatening way, how to work with these difficult students to figure out what it is that they're lacking, what skill they're lacking that's causing the behavior, rather than trying to stop the behavior once it happens. And that's a lot of work. And that's a lot of work for school employees. It's really hard. And the districts that have tried that in the state can testify that it's hard work, but it's changed the culture of their schools to a much better place.
312-981-7200, where Tim is on WGN. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, hi, guys. I'm finding this conversation fascinating because I just recently interned at a school that had one of those rooms, but it was the nice calming room. And this particular principal recently came in because this school was like 95% trauma. These kids have seen trauma. I would say 99% of them have seen trauma. So we were very busy, but they had that room, and they had things for their oratory, sensory, and the computer. They had a punching bag. They had the lava lamps. They had music. It was really nice. Like, in fact, the kids would sometimes be getting to get into this. Because all voluntary.
I want to say I would like to get into that room the way it sounded right now. I would do anything to get into
this.
I was so fortunate to be placed there. I'm a late bloomer, so I'm graduating school this semester, but I interned. I'm going to be a social worker, and I interned as a social worker at this school. And the principal that was there, it was her second year, and she came in and she just revamped this whole school and had all her staff, you know, be trauma-informed. And it was one of the best experiences I had. I've seen the other side of that, and I thought it worked very well.
Thanks very much, Tim. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
no problem.
All right, here's Debbie at 312-981-7200. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, my son lives in a therapeutic day school, and they put him in a quiet room for 3 days, and he cried for 3 days. And that was just one incident. They would frequently just put him in there, and he wasn't violent or verbal. He just didn't want to do the work. That, I mean, even in other therapeutic day schools, if they had a quiet room, they would put him there for maybe an hour. But this school would put him in for days.
Debbie, when you say days, do you mean the entire length of the school day? He would be in the quiet room by himself?
Yes.
That seems like a very lengthy period of time.
Pardon?
I just that surprises me that they were being used in that way rather than my impression initially from when talking to you was that they're used more as a timeout type of room, but it sounds as if they're always being used in that way. Thank you, Debbie, for the call. 3 days, three full days.
Right. So sort of an interesting thing about Illinois law is that it does not cap the amount of time that a child can spend in a room. What it does say is that once the behavior stops that caused a child to be placed in timeout, you only have 30 minutes to get the kid out. So you've got 30 minutes from the time the behavior stops when the child must be removed from the seclusion room. But what Debbie just described is, frankly, legal in the state of Illinois. Schools have leeway to place children in for a very long time, and they do.
Thank you so much. This is great. Jennifer Smith Powerful Richards report. From the Chicago Tribune and Lakedra Chavis from ProPublica. They've done this combined investigation here that's looking into what are being called quiet rooms in the schools, and some of them look very disquieting. So take a look at the Tribune today, and it's a multiple-part series, right?
There will be more coming, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank
Appreciate
you
it.
Thanks for
we got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way in, too. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up in a few minutes, Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine, will be here to diagnose me. Thank God is right. I have a pain in my arm from my flu shot. I'd like him to treat me for that, as well as other things.
You still have pain in your arm from the flu shot? Didn't you get that yesterday morning?
Actually, I pain went away, but that's okay.
You
I
still have it. The trauma from the pain.
Exactly.
Roll strong.
That's exactly
Pull
right.
Pull through it, Ro.
All right. Hey, Amber. Amber Phillips is with us from the Washington Post, and Amber's going to have to get me out of this because, quite honestly, I'm embarrassing myself now, aren't I? and I just we want to just check in here quickly with what has been happening on Capitol Hill today. There were two witnesses this morning and two witnesses this afternoon in the impeachment inquiry in the House of Representatives, and one of the two this morning, there was the woman who was on the Mike Pence, who is on the Mike Pence National Security Staff. And the Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, who has really sort of been at the very center of this, and he seemed to be the most dramatic witness so far. Would you say that's correct, Amber?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I was just pulling up what I thought was one of his most key exchanges, and it was with Adam Schiff, the chair of the House Intelligence Committee. And Schiff asked him, so is there any ambiguity at the president's use of the word Biden in that July call with Ukraine's new president? And Vindman says that is not. And he confirms with Schiff, he thought it was pretty clear the president wanted Ukraine to commit to investigating the Bidens, and that he and Williams both said they thought that was inappropriate.
Now, so you have that. Now, you have Republicans who are saying, listen, even if the president did want that, he's looking to fight corruption here, and there's corruption. Now, this afternoon, you have up on the Hill, you have one of the, this Kurt Volker, who was also on this staff, who would have been in this chain of command, who has changed his testimony fairly significantly here, and actually is saying that he believes that the president was wrong and that Rudy Giuliani was wrong about the intent of the new Ukrainian government, and that they had both had this thought about the Ukrainian government that preceded this new president being elected there. And the president was really he thought that the Ukrainians are very corrupt, right?
Right. Yeah, I think you're right to zero in on at least the news so far in this late afternoon testimony, Kurt Volker saying, you know what, at the time I was helping the president execute his Ukraine policy. I thought it was fine for the president to investigate Burisma, a company that Hunter Biden, Joe Biden's son, was on the board of, but as long as he didn't say Biden. He says, I learned with the rest of the world that July call between Trump and Ukraine's president where he said Biden. And so in retrospect, I should have seen that the president was pushing these political investigations, he wasn't necessarily concerned about broader corruption in Ukraine. I would have, if I'd recognized that at the time, I would have told him, you shouldn't do that. I think it's an open question right now how much of this is saving him and his face, because he was a key player in some of these negotiations.
Kurt Volker.
Kurt Volker, thank you, between President Trump's personal lawyer and Ukrainian officials.
Right. Here's what I've gotten out of today so far, actually the last couple of days, is that Rudy Giuliani was very much a whirling dervish through Ukraine. He was convinced and then convinced the president that the Ukrainians were behind a hack. They were after the president. They were trying to take the president down. That actually, the president saying the Ukrainians are bad, they were trying to take me down, has been entered into testimony a number of times today. And that apparently came to the president's mind through Rudy Giuliani. And what today right now is setting up what appears to be an intent. Right. I mean, this is a motive for the president wanting to screw over the Ukrainian government and also get or at least before he gives them the money for the weapons, at least get something out of them that he wants personally, because he was already mad at him. Amber, thanks very much. Appreciate your time. Amber Phillips, Washington Post. As always, let's talk to Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roads and in the skies?
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggett, Sarah Gendra, and everybody else from the WGN-TV Morning News team for Chicago's Thanksgiving Day Parade. It's Thanksgiving morning starting at 8 a.m. on WGN-TV.
No, you just can't get enough of this parade.
I love this parade. I'm sorry to be an over-promoter of it, but I really like the parade.
I'm not a big fan of that parade.
Well, you haven't been? Have you been to the parade?
No.
I know it requires getting up at like 7 in the morning and going downtown, and I know that seems like a big inconvenience, but it totally is worth it. Just trust me, it's totally worth it.
I would like to say that I've appeared in just about every parade you can appear in Chicago.
I have too.
But I was never, because I always worked over at the ABC, I was never invited because this is Channel 9's parade.
What's because you didn't get an invite that you're upset about this parade?
No. I just wasn't, you know, we weren't asked to be in it. And then once I got over to WGN Radio, they were like, oh, well, we're never inviting you into this thing. And I do, people, they say that they like it. I understand that. I understand that, you know, it's Paul Conrad's favorite day of the year. But I just have to say that the wackiest thing that I can imagine is getting up even that much earlier on Thanksgiving morning. So I don't do that.
It's a big day. Well, I
don't watch it on TV. It's very fun on TV.
It's like a mini Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yeah.
But it's manageable. You can get in and out pretty quickly, and you get your hot chocolate or whatever you want to drink, and you just sit there on the side and you just take it all
Why'd
in.
Why'd you say it like that?
Whatever you want.
That's an insult.
Not judging.
Okay.
Whatever's in your cup is in your cup. Except there are all laws about that being out in public.
I got a guy.
Do what you need to do.
I got a guy who holds the cup. You guys got to have this down. Anyway, well, we look forward to that on Thanksgiving morning. And this Saturday is that Lights Festival parade.
Magnow,
right?
Lights Fest with Mickey and Minnie, to the delight of like thousands and thousands of kids. Oh, it's just, that's another one that's a lot of fun.
Did you see that yesterday Mickey turned 91 years old?
Wow, he looks great.
I know.
Has
he
it
does.
Aged?
He has. He's in pretty good shape.
You're damn right.
He's having a good run.
Totally is.
A phenomenal run, actually.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the best runs of all time.
Didn't they like crash the system for Disney Plus, the new streaming service? 10 million people signing up within like hours or something, days.
Yeah.
Really incredible. That just the appetite for Disney.
Yeah.
Never wanes.
Well, it also helps that they put Marvel on there.
Yeah, they got the Star Wars on there.
And the ESPN Plus and the Star Wars and everything else, yeah. Yeah.
And National Geographic.
Right. Now, I don't know what they do with that. And I have to look at the ducks landing in a lake.
Isn't
somewhere
that,
in IDF?
What's his name's got a show? Goldblum? What's his name?
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah. Yeah, you've got a show on that platform.
Yeah, it's The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yup.
That's all I need.
Yeah.
I need him to explain everything to me.
How does that work with National Geographic? Does he do things that are involved with nature?
Sure, why not? Well, you know, he was in Jurassic Park. Yeah, people, you know, once you play a character like that, where you're like an expert, remember he was like an expert on chaos theory or whatever the hell it was?
Mm-hmm.
And so you figure that, you know, he's an actor. He must know something. So he just gets up there and acts like he knows about nature.
And he knows a lot about aliens from Independence Day. So there's a lot he can cover.
Yes,
wide-ranging show.
Right. Totally.
Definitely not signing up, though.
He always plays a scientist of some sort. Right. Some, you know, really smart guy, because he talks fast.
Talks fast.
Yeah. And he was Joey's acting coach in one episode of Friends.
Oh, wow. That's
always a
fun fact.
These are very important. These are very important. Actually, I believe it was actually a director looking for an actor for a TV show or a commercial or something like that.
I like National Geographic programming. Pretty good app, too.
Yeah.
Beautiful on the new televisions that are out there these days.
There's always been slow. It's like slow motion of some green insect I cannot identify opening up its body in a plant. And then you're like, oh, look at that. Oh, now I can't see it. Oh, I can see it now. No, I can't see it. Now I can see it.
The recent push notification, this is the only species of bees to build their hives upward in a spiral. And then they go into the type of bee that it is and show you the bee making or the honey making and whole home building kind of thing that the bees do.
And somehow you can see the expression on the bee's face. That's how good the photography
it's
is.
It's like so up close, like woo! You can tell them apart.
Hey Johnny, excuse me. I gotta get over here.
I'm gonna follow this.
Yeah, I gotta get over here. Where's the queen?
Mikey.
Is the queen
my guy?
Is the queen watching now? Timmy, come here. Come here. I need your help with this. This is heavy.
Hey, you know what? I have seen a video of bees licking off honey of one of their fellow bees because it couldn't fly anymore. It was completely stuck, so the other bees came to its rescue. That is crazy.
Do they sting each other?
No.
No, what's the point of that? A homicidal bee? What are you talking about here?
I don't know. They're bees.
It's actually a murder-suicide for a bee, because doesn't the bee die after it stings, too?
I thought they did. I wasn't sure. Is that Jeff Goldblum
on the line.
Where is Jeff?
How long do bees last this. After
Wait,
they sting someone?
Can a bee actually lick? What can a bee? A bee
tongues?
Has a tongue? What is that? What are you telling me?
Yeah, well, so you're not washing it enough, bro.
Wait, what did you say?
How do you think they get nectar?
Well, I think they suck it out with their poker nose.
Yeah, it's like a little tongue in a tubey thingy.
Oh, I had no idea.
Maybe Jeff Goldblum to settle this.
Let me tell you something. I'll explain the whole thing to you. Get Disney Plus, $12.99 a month.
Hey, you want an expert on animals? Disney, all the way.
Right.
Isn't it like $6 a month?
Yeah, I thought it was only
$7.
Yeah, but if you just get the Disney Plus, but if you want the National Geographic and the ESPN Plus and the Hulu, along with all of that, it's $12.99 a month.
Someone added up, did all the math, but if you were to purchase all the streaming options out there, it's just the same as a cable bill.
Right, but you're already paying for cable, too, because you need internet. You need the internet service, and then you need the cable.
Right. It's all going to be like, instead of cutting the cord, we're all going to be like, I'm dumping the streaming services, I'm going back to cable. Because eventually it'll be more than what you would pay for cable.
Or that you won't have gas or water or electric. Well, you have to have electric. But.
Seems like a good idea. You know what they did, though? They got us, right? The Netflix. They were like, Netflix was the gateway drug. If Joe Biden's looking for a gateway drug, I just found it for him. Right. Netflix. You got into Netflix, you started paying, what was it? Started out, I think, at like $3.99 a month, $4.99 a month. Yeah. Like, oh, it's under $5. Okay.
Totally.
I can do this, no problem. And I spend more time looking at the menu at Netflix than I do watching anything at Netflix.
It's so hard to decide.
And it is like an addiction because you can't quit because you can't figure out how to end your subscription. So you're like, forget it. What's your password to the password? I don't know.
And I don't even know how I got the subscription.
And then you get distracted, you open another tab or you open another streaming, and then you forget about it, and then you get your bill, and then you realize you're still getting popped $12 a month.
Right.
It's an endless cycle.
I'm telling you, they lie about you putting in the wrong password. I think they just change it themselves. They're like, no, that's not it.
It feels that way.
Why are they always checking your password? Because you're using your grandmother's password? Is that why? Or she's using yours? They want to stop that. I totally understand.
Yeah, I get that,
I don't want the stealing. I mean, this is, you know, intellectual property. I get it's important.
Well, and they have a lot of competition now, and they've spent $1 billion or more on programming. So they're like, we got to recoup some of these costs.
Yeah. But it's like, and everybody else is going to be so... Time Warner is doing their own version of this with HBO, right? Like HBO Plus, that's going to have a bunch of the Time Warner stuff on it. And then you'll have, and again, we'll be in silos. And now all of a sudden, that'll be the next front on the American war against itself, in which we're going to be like, which team are you on? Are you Team Disney?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, I'm Team Netflix. And then they're going to start sucking each other up, right?
You would think so. Like something's going to have to shake out at some point.
Right.
Yeah. And then they're gonna. And then next thing you know, there's gonna be like 12 different options, and then they'll suck themselves up to 3 different options.
Well, there's Netflix, CBS has a platform, Disney has a platform,
Hulu
has a platform.
Well, Hulu is now the Disney platform. It's now that's gonna get sucked up into Disney.
Amazon.
and Amazon, which throws the whole thing. Now, talk about throwing you into a complete tizzy. Then with Amazon, they've sold you into this by telling you you're going to get your packages the next day, right? And then if you get your packages the next day, you get the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And you're like, oh, okay, I'll do that. I got the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
You do get addicted to it. All they have to do is have one good show, and suddenly you need that service.
But you know what I found, though, which is really interesting? Now, the Disney Plus is going to be a little different because it's got a bunch of movies on it, right? That you're familiar with, that you
watch.
Yeah,
it's got a built-in kind of book of you know, shows that you want and movies that you want.
And you can figure it out. It's not like when you go to these other services and you look at the movies, you're like, it's got a billion different types of movies, so the movie that you really want, you can't really find it very easily because when you're trying to search for it, it throws up something else, and then it throws up the name of the movie that you're looking for, and then it tells you, no, we don't have that, but you can buy it for this amount of money.
Oh, I hate that.
You know, whatever it is. But at least the Disney one kind of makes sense, right? Because it's, oh, it's Marvel. Oh, it's Disney. Oh, it's, you know, whatever it's going to be. This, and those are good brands, and they got that. They got that figured out. The biggest problem is you get, like, on Amazon, and you start trying to look up a movie, and it can take forever. And I don't know where the movies are. I don't know how to find anything that I'm looking for. And the movies that I actually said, oh, you know what? I'm in the mood for this movie that I liked when I was a kid or whatever. And you go try to find it. And they keep sending you to the other place. You know what we need? We need a Moogle, a movie Google that just tells us where we can find that one movie that we're looking for.
Because sometimes you start even watching a series and then you forget where that series is located.
Yeah.
Even after you've already found something.
It's real. It's very confusing.
It is. AT&T also is launching streaming.
Oh, my God. Throw that in there.
Well, AT&T is Time Warner. That's the one.
Oh,
that's
the one you're talking
right.
about.
Yeah, that's right, because that's with HBO Plus.
Oh, right.
Right, remember they got together? The whole thing.
It's hard to keep track of.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I know.
It's all changing so rapidly, and you got to decide which ones you want, which ones you need, which ones you can do without, and then you look at your cable bill or whatever, the whole TV bill. And it's grown.
I feel like my grandfather. My grandfather used to be totally confused about which channel Mannix was on when I was a kid. And there were only three networks that you could choose from, right? There was Channel 2, Channel 5, Channel 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
CBS, NBC, ABC. And then there was Channel 9. And Channel 9 didn't have any of those things. It had some reruns, or it had, you know, other stuff that you could watch.
Right.
McHale's Navy. That's what I mean. And then there was Channel 11, where you could see a bee sucking on another bee, right? That's what you did with Channel 11. And maybe, you know, maybe a Ken Burns documentary.
And some cooking shows.
And and Yan, Martin Yan throwing a knife
Yan
at you.
Yan can cook.
That's so you had that, right? And some guy building a house. Apparently we watched a lot of that. And then Channel 32 or Channel 44, and God knows what was happening there. So now, my grandfather had no idea. And I was like, how confused could you possibly be, Grandpa, that you don't understand that Mannix is on CBS. It's going to be on Channel 2. It's always going to be on Channel 2. And they're constantly searching, couldn't remember the day. And that's when it was scheduled and linear and you could figure it out. Now, where it's like just a complete, you know, dumpster fire of programming, and you have to crawl into the on fire dumpster and try to find the show that you want. Now I'm like, I need like an 8-year old to explain to me, as I was trying to do to my grandfather, exactly where it is I can find what it is I'm looking for.
Because they do know. My 7-year-old too. It's like she'll know where all the shows are.
Yeah,
she just does. I'll be like, where?
Because that's what they're consuming.
Yeah,
and then there's YouTube too. On top of that,
well,
I totally forgot about them.
The little kids,
but the YouTube's got everything. I don't know, man. And what is YouTube now? Like $8 a month if you want to subscribe to it, and then you get like TV networks, and you get your local TV. And they're trying to screw over the cable companies, and the cable companies are like, no, we'll screw you back. I got you. You want internet? You want a phone? You want oxygen? We'll cut your oxygen off in your house. How do you like that?
Right now, it's really good for consumers because there's a lot of great content, and it seems like they're keeping the cost low because they want everybody to sign up for the new subscriptions.
Right, and then it'll be $100 a month.
And then...
Once they got you, man. I mean, that's what I'm telling you. Netflix was $3.99.
It was
great. I'm pretty positive when I signed up for it, it was
$3.99. I remember $4.99 is a price. Does that seem right?
It kept going up like a dollar. It went up like a dollar an hour. It was like a cab.
Well,
you're
talking
about
when it was just like rentals or
no, when it first started as an over the top, you know, as a streaming service.
Okay.
Yeah, when that happened, it was, I think, $3.99 a month. And you're like, no, wait, how do I get it? And you had to have the Apple TV to get it or a Fire Stick or whatever. I don't know. The whole thing.
I don't think Fire Stick existed back then.
God knows. See, I need an 8-year-old. Give me an 8-year-old.
Let's get an 8-year-old.
All right. Kim Gordon has the WGN news. And then the doctor is in the house right here on 720 WGN. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes. Right here. 720 WGN. The doctor's in the house. Thank God. It's very important to have the doctor in the house with you at any given moment. I generally travel with a doctor, but Dr. Jim Adams, who's a senior vice president of Northwestern Medicine, he's too expensive to travel with. So I got a guy that was trained in Honduras. Seems like he knows what he's doing. I believe he actually refers to himself as a shaman more than anything else. Speaking of that, I want to ask you, so we were, before you came in here, Jim, we were talking about CBD oils, and I know that, you know, because this is, we're 6 weeks away now from marijuana being legal in the state of Illinois in some way, shape, or form, right? And people are, you know, very excited about the prospect of this and the CBD craze, and the CBD that has actually does have THC in it, right? As opposed to the non-THC CBD. I don't know. The whole thing is kind of confusing to me. But our producer was asking you, you know, if you had thoughts on this, and you told I got to start with this because I find this very hard to believe. You think this has a lot to do with just sort of mind over matter, right?
Well, the mind's incredibly powerful, and we know that there's a placebo effect that's not fake. It's real. If a doctor, and we've tested, I mean, this has been tested. If a doctor believes they're given morphine and the patient believes they're getting it, 70% get pain relief, even if it's just sterile water. So pain relief is a real phenomenon, even with placebo.
Now, you told our producer a story that I couldn't believe that there are, in India, there are people who actually are anesthetized for surgery, including open heart surgery, that are being anesthetized by way of like...
Yeah, hypnosis and acupuncture as anesthesia for surgery. Seen it.
Hypnosis and acupuncture.
And patients don't need any other pain.
Well, now, acupuncture I know works, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that is basically, I mean, science has finally adopted that. Western medicine 50 years ago started adopting that.
Right.
So we know that that's an effective, mm-hmm. Potentially effective for mm-hmm. people. But the how are you going to mm-hmm. tell somebody that they're not, you know, you're not a bone saw on their chest?
It's stunning. It's shocking, but it has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah.
But it's a special art. The mind is the most powerful thing. It's incredible.
Well, I was sitting around the kitchen counter this weekend with grandmas on both sides and younger members of the family, and both the grandmothers use CBD cream on their mm-hmm. arthritic yep. hands yep. and swear by it, and they were exchanging, they were shooting each other pictures of the cream they use, trying to see which one was cheaper, swear by it, that they can't really use their fingers unless they use this cream, and maybe this speaks to the placebo effect. And then the younger members were like, yeah, kind of, we know this stuff too, and they were just sort of admitting that, you know, they're hip to the best CBD stuff out there too. For other reasons, but I think that the interesting part that, you know, I always point out is that it is unregulated, so you don't even know if there's CBD in it.
You don't know what you're getting. It hasn't been studied. I don't really oppose it as long as it's used in moderation. There's a lot of stuff people use. It's fine to use in moderation. Please don't overuse it, because we don't know what side effects could be had, but it's fine to use in moderation, and if it does help, it helps. I go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Keep with what's working.
Wow. All right. Flu season. Has it begun in earnest?
Not in earnest. There's cases around the country. People are worried that it's going to be a bad season because there's cases around the country. Not too much in Illinois. It's in Indiana. We're going to start to see it here soon.
How long does it take generally once you start to see it in the region? And it goes in stages here too, right? So it's sporadic, right? Is that the definition right. that they have for it now?
That's right.
And then there's one above sporadic, and then there's widespread, right?
That's right.
And what that's generally the peak of the season is somewhere at the end of January, beginning of February?
Usually, that's right. But as we last year, it extended into May, June, and the flu actually never went away last year.
Oh, my gosh.
We saw cases in August last year, several cases.
So, and that's really unusual?
Really unusual. Who knows why? People traveling around.
Because it moves around the world.
Moves around the world.
Yeah. And we know that the flu season, which in the spring and summer is in Asia and Australia specifically, they had a particularly bad year in terms of virulence, but also in terms numbers of mortality.
Yeah, that's what's worrying us, and South America too. So everybody's worried, and it's starting to show up now. So we fear it's going to be bad.
I saw that Texas actually just had their first pediatric death from influenza this year.
That's right,
and that's a pretty scary thing. And I'm telling everybody to go get a flu shot. And I was delayed in getting mine because I had a cold for like 3 weeks, just wouldn't go away. And if you have a cold, it's a little harder to get the flu shot because if you go in and they'll ask you, do you have a fever? Do you have this? Do you have that? And so finally, I had one day of good health, doctor. Thank you very much. I appreciate all your help. And
small then, window.
Yeah,
thank God.
Right, exactly. And so I went in and I got it. And I'm so glad I did. But it's like, I think that people are already, like me, the people are already, oh my God, is it here? Because it takes two weeks for it to be effective.
That's right. But it's still, but get it. Your immunity will start. And it'll last for the season, so it's important.
Is there any data yet on if it's a good match, this particular vaccine, for the flu that we're actually seeing in emergency rooms?
You know, we'll know that when we hit the more widespread flu. It probably is about 28%, maybe 30-some percent coverage. Maybe it's not a precisely good match, but
it depends on what's in your environment,
way
though,
worth getting, absolutely. So it may be a better match than we think. We'll find out.
Yeah, right.
That could be regionalized, too. There may be just a strain of A that it is matched to, that becomes the dominant strain in the Chicago area, or you know, or wherever, and not necessarily the new one that's coming out of Asia right now is an H1N1, right?
Right.
Yeah, which is, and again, when we do this, you go, well, H1N1 should be okay, but then there's a bunch of numbers, there's another, you know, bunch of letters and numbers that go on after that, and for it to be completely effective against that, you got to get the strain exactly right, or at least 99% of it.
That's true, and then sometimes you get close enough that maybe get a little sick, but not as severe. So it's always worth it.
All right, doctor, stay right here. We're gonna
Don't
move, doctor. I've got other things. Does this look funny? We're gonna play that game coming up. But first, Lauren Lapka has the traffic and the weather. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. I love this segment. Dr. Jim Adams joins us every couple of weeks, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine. And I would like to say that I feel better just having him here. It's all I know is that, and again, it's mind over matter, right, doctor? I mean, isn't that you say it all the time. It must be true.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah, that's it. Just knowing he's there. All right. I saw an interesting story about people who have heart disease and the difference between being treated by a stent or some sort of surgical intervention versus just chemical intervention in heart disease. And because, you know, you hear these stories about people that have chest pain, they go into the hospital, and literally, they get the Widowmaker going, and they go into a cath lab, and they come out 20 minutes later, and they're great, right? I mean, this happened with Bernie Sanders a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yep.
And so you're like, okay, well, good, great. I mean, this is saving lives, whereas, you know, men in their, you know, 50s and 60s would have been dropping dead on the street that are now being saved by this incredible, minimally invasive surgical solution. But now we're hearing that that may not be as much of a panacea. What's that all about?
Well, first, if somebody does have chest pain, go to emergency. Nothing to mess around with. Please, please, please get in and be checked out. If you're having a heart attack, you need a stent. This study was really for people who had funny-looking stress tests and then went to cardiac catheterization. Does everybody need a stent all the time? And what it really showed was that the power of good diet, nutrition, statins, aspirin really can prevent progression of heart disease, is really good for preserving heart health. So not everybody needs a stent under all circumstances, but there are people who definitely need stents because their blood flow is too blocked.
Right.
And heart issues also can surface in other ways. I mean, women, I've been told it can happen in your back as well. You can not get the chest pain. You can get pains elsewhere.
Jaw, shoulder, back, unusual fatigue. If something really feels wrong, get checked out.
I got all that.
Yeah, better. You
gotta get all that time? All the time. I don't know.
Are you heading back to the hospital, Dr. Jim? Because
I'll share a cab with you. Unless you want me to call the ambulance, we can go back together. And that, it's not something that is to be messed with, like you said, especially if it runs in your family. Right. And there's people in their 30s. I mean, I had a friend when I was a kid whose dad died when he was 38 years old, you know, from a massive heart attack. Now, that is the kind of thing, especially now, given the difference in the way that EMTs, or the emergency medical services, I should say, respond to you with paramedics, especially in the Chicago Fire Department, is an amazing response. But response all throughout, you know, in modern emergency medical response is excellent. And also with defibrillators and things like that that are available in offices, that changes a lot of outcomes here. So survivability is good. But if you do have a history of it, you should be checked out. You should get a regular EKG, especially when you're younger, so you have a baseline EKG so people can see exactly what it is, that how your heart, I mean, I've had this, so I understand this, how your heart looked when it was healthy. And in the simplest of tests, an EKG that almost any doctor in their office could give you, then you get a sense of if there's a change in that, then something has happened.
This is the power of having a good primary doctor who knows you, your family history, and can guide you to stay healthy. Really important. I've known people in their 20s that have had heart attacks. In the big trials, when I was a resident, the youngest person to have a big heart attack was 16 years old. Mm-hmm. They had a congenital problem with mm-hmm. cholesterol. We can treat all those conditions, get checked out by a primary doctor.
Right.
Good to remember. Very, very good.
And it turns out, now I like this story. Oh, wait, before I do that, let's talk about whooping cough really quickly, because there is whooping cough. We talked about this a couple of, actually, I think 2 months ago, but it's still prevalent in the suburbs, right? There's still some cases?
There was an outbreak in the suburbs, yeah, and it happens every so often when pertussis, or otherwise known as whooping cough, gets there. It spreads to everybody that doesn't have immunity.
Right. And it hasn't been vaccinated, right?
And that vaccination, it's tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis. So a tetanus update, most of us are updating pertussis to prevent whooping cough at the same time.
Do we know if vaccination rates are continuing to go down, or have they leveled off?
They've only gone down in pockets. In general, the vaccination rates are very good. People are behaving very sensibly. And this Tdap, the tetanus, diphtheria, pertussis, mm-hmm. people really do accept it. It's great. And pregnant women have to get it. You do not want pertussis with a young infant. So people are very good about this one.
So does that immunity go on to the child?
So it'll pass, and then the child at several months will start with immunizations to get their own immunity. Mm-hmm. But it also prevents the mother or the environment from exposing the child too. So both transmitted immunity, but also environmental.
But highly contagious, just droplets from cough.
That's right.
Just land, that's it, and you're done.
Mm-hmm. And, all right. I blame Facebook for all of this.
Why is Facebook?
Well, because it's where all the people who are like, the anti-vaxxer world lives on Facebook, you know, and that are constantly, you know, telling you. We just did the story yesterday about the misdiagnosis when you go on the internet to figure out what's wrong with you, Dr. Google syndrome, which is I got this, or you know, does this look funny or whatever it is, and then you go on and it's at least 40%. We know 40% of people are completely misdiagnosed when they call their doctor afterwards.
Yeah, I see people showing up in the emergency department too.
It's with pictures from the
printout. They Googled it. They think they have it.
Exactly. And it's too scary not to get checked. It is scary. Google is not a good diagnostician.
No.
Yeah. Do doctors hate that when you say, hey, I saw on Google that I might have this or this or this?
Honestly, no. The only problem is when people don't admit it and they carry the fear along and we haven't addressed it. So if people are honest and you have a good doctor, we're very accepting, let's just clear the air.
Okay. It's good to know.
Yeah, I also like the idea that the doctors also know how good of a printer you have at home and then how reliable your own self-diagnosis is based on the printer, the quality of the picture that you're bringing in off of your printer. All right, and finally, I knew this was going to happen. Apparently there's a genetic relationship to what food groups you hate.
People have different taste buds. Mm-hmm. Some people have genes that taste things in different ways. And some people have an increased bitterness for certain vegetables. That's true.
So like Brussels sprouts. I don't like Brussels sprouts, but I love vegetables. That's because it's a bitter vegetable, or because I'm tasting it in a bit way that makes it bitter?
So there's people that when they taste it, they have this extreme reaction, this is really, really terrible reaction. And they are super tasters that will experience the broccoli, the kale, the cauliflower in an exceptionally bitter way, more than most. Mm-hmm. So that can be true. Most of us that don't like it,
it's just a
matter of taste. Yeah. But there are super tasters.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something else, too.
Are you a super
taster? There's a whole group of people in my life. I separate the people in my life based on the tomato. The people who love the tomato and hate the tomato. It probably is the greatest, most polarizing issue of our times.
I love the tomatoes.
I know. You love
Italian
you either
food?
Love it or you hate it. And the people I know who hate it, and I've got a whole list. I got a whole list.
And you don't like those people, I think.
Some of these people I'm related to, and I can't help it.
You have to like them.
I'm trying to figure that out, too. Maybe I'm not related to them.
Do the Ancestry.com.
I'm going to get on that, because I got to figure that out. But it is, you know, it's like a crazy thing, because it's not even about the taste. It's the texture. So I think there are people who are texturally creeped out genetically as well.
So I believe you. We have to do that science, though.
Okay. Well, we'll get on that.
But there is a hereditary nature of this whole thing they found in terms of you're inheriting that gene to like the vegetables or finding them bitter.
There are genetic variants, absolutely, that people have different taste detections, and that can be shown. And people metabolize drugs differently. We know the genetics really matters in this.
I'm going to do this for the tomato industry. I'm going to better the tomato industry. I'm going to find out what exactly this gene is, and I'm going to come up with some sort of therapy that changes that for people so that everybody can enjoy the tomato equally, because it is the greatest thing.
Brings people together.
It does. That's all I'm trying to do, is bring Americans back together. Jim Adams, Dr. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and Senior Vice President of Northwestern Medicine. Get a flu shot. That's what you tell everybody right now. If you've not gotten one, get one. This is going to be a particularly bad season. Thanks so much for being with us. Appreciate it, Doctor.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
If you insist.
Number five.
Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman concluded his opening statement in the third day of public hearings in the impeachment inquiry. He had an emotional message to his father celebrating the rights and freedoms enjoyed by U.S. citizens.
My father was 47 years old. He left behind his entire life and the only home he had ever known to start over in the United States so his three sons could have a better and safer lives. His courageous decision inspired a deep sense of gratitude in my brothers and myself, and instilled in us a sense of duty and service. All three of us have served or are currently serving in the military. My little brother sits behind me here today. Our collective military service is a special part of our family's history, a story in America. I also recognize that my simple act of appearing here today, just like the courage of my colleagues, who have also truthfully testified before this committee, would not be tolerated in many places around the world. In Russia, my act of expressing concern to the chain of command in an official and private channel would have severe personal and professional repercussions, and offering public testimony involving the president would surely cost me my life. I'm grateful to my father's brave act of hope 40 years ago, and for the privilege of being an American citizen and public servant, where I can live free and free of fear for mine and my family's safety. Dad, I'm sitting here today in the U.S. Capitol talking to our elected professionals is proof that you made the right decision 40 years ago to leave the Soviet Union and come here to the United States of America in search of a better life for our family. Do not worry. I will be fine for telling the truth.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. The president did. Well, the White House tweeted about him, not the president.
Right. The White House did. Well, I think it was during the testimony. Yeah. Tim Morrison, Alexander Vindman's former boss. So the man just speaking there. His former boss testified in his deposition he had concerns about Vindman's judgment.
But Vindman handled himself well. However, he did have this moment with Devin Nunes.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, you testified in the deposition that you did not know who the whistleblower was or is.
I do not know who the whistleblower is. That is,
well, how is it possible for you to name these people and then out the whistleblower?
Per the advice of my counsel, I've been advised not to answer specific questions about members of the intelligence community.
All right, and that was because they were trying to get him to mention who he had talked to about this. And there apparently is somebody that is suspected to be the whistleblower that he had talked to, and they wanted a definition of who that person was based on where what their job was in the government. And that's what the big thing was. And then Chris Stewart, Republican Chris Stewart, then asked the Lieutenant Colonel this.
I very quickly, I'm curious, when Ranking Member Nunes referred to you as Mr. Vindman, you quickly corrected him and wanted to be called Lieutenant Colonel Vindman. Do you always insist on civilians calling you by your rank?
Mr. Stewart, Representative Stewart, I'm in uniform wearing my military rank. I just thought it was appropriate to stick with that.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Stewart. I'm sure you meant no disrespect.
Because I don't believe you did. But the attacks that I've had in the press, in Twitter, have kind of eliminated the fact that either marginalized me as a military officer, or
listen. I'm just telling you that the ranking member meant no disrespect to you.
I believe that.
You know, I was watching this, and I was mm-hmm. It reminded me of my dad, because this was one of my dad's jobs in the military. Mm-hmm. He was a liaison officer, an intelligence liaison officer. And there, and I just thought, you know, what would it have been like had he been sitting up there? You know, a guy who does his job, and they don't do it out of politics. They do it out of what, you know, what their training is and what they're supposed to do based on their rules of engagement and based on their the UCMJ. And I think this whole thing about taking the guy down for being a military officer, for wearing his, they even made fun of him for wearing his uniform. Well, shouldn't you be in a suit? One of the congressmen asked him. It just, the whole thing, and for Republicans to Republican members to do that was really tough for me to watch personally. But all right, we'll get to your 4, 3, 2, and 1. But first, Lauren Lapko, what's happening in the skies and the roads? Top 5 of 5 continues. I am about to lose my mind when I play this one, but I'm going to try to remain calm.
Number 4.
I got excited when I saw this.
Every day my office is under attack. From a president who uses our city as a punching bag. The NRA, hell-bent on letting guns flood our streets. And the FOP, clinging to the old ways. They'll do anything to undercut progress, including attacking me personally over the Jussie Smollett case.
Oh, my God.
Truth is, I didn't handle it well. I own that. I'm making changes in my office to make sure we do better. That's what reform is about. But we all know, those attacks aren't just about one case. They're about stopping progress in Cook County.
It's like she says the president allowed our city to be used as a punching bag. Okay, people can make an argument for that. Yeah. I think she allowed our city to be used as a punching bag when she allowed Jussie Smollett to go on air everywhere, GMA and everywhere else, and just undermine our city the way he did with this false narrative.
And stay silent about it.
Not only stay silent, but push it through the courts in this highly unusual way that made it more secretive and this lack of transparency and then the fake recusal. The whole way this went down is at her doorstep.
I'm working to make reforms, she says in the office. I have one very simple reform that would make the whole thing fine. Step aside!
Saying she didn't handle it well is very mild.
Right. That's like saying, I just made a little mistake here. Not like there's something completely fundamentally wrong with the entire process that went down.
Remember that Sesame Street song? Whoops, I made a mistake, that's all. Mistakes can happen to anyone. Do you guys remember this? Am I the only one?
I think
that's what I hear in my head when she says that. Because it's like, it's not really owning it the way you say you're owning it. Because you came in after there was a transparency problem. Anita Alvarez got swept out after the Laquan McDonald thing. A lot of people said that we didn't get to see that videotape on time, and there were political reasons why, an investigation that dragged on longer than it should have because of political reasons. And she was brought in under this air of new light that we were hoping for more transparency, and I think she's disappointed us.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, think!
You most of all.
Okay. All right.
You got through it, Ro. You got through it.
Well, you did a nice job. You know, you tried to salve the problem. We had the doctor here last hour helping me through that. You're helping that.
He held your hand.
Thank you, Anna. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
That.
Number 3.
Kevin Hart has made his return to YouTube with season 3 of Cold as Balls, in which he interviews celebrities in an ice bath as opposed to a hot tub.
Hmm.
Interesting. This time it's Dennis Rodman. So, Dennis Rodman, what about your relationship with Spurs coach Greg Popovich?
Greg Popovich was the GM. He didn't like me at all.
Why?
I wasn't the church going guy.
Yeah.
David Robinson called me the devil.
David called you that.
He called me the devil. I said, okay, man, whatever. So he said, you need to pay me to be nice. You need to pay me to win. Popovich wanted me to get out of there so bad. So he traded me to Chicago for Will Perdue. Straight up. Here's your shit. Get the f*** out. Here,
we'll take Will Perdue. Give us Will Perdue. Y'all get the devil.
All right.
The devil?
Well, I mean, have you seen Dennis Rodman?
I have.
All right, so what about, and I like Kevin Hart getting all political here, what about the Kim Jong-un guy?
First of all, how are you friends?
Your it wasn't friend. Dope in the beginning.
Like, how did it happen?
And he loved Chicago Bulls. He contacted Michael first, and Michael Jordan just like, no, I'm not doing it. So the next guy he asked was me. He said, okay, Dennis, you want to go to North Korea? They say Kim Jong-un. They said, you want to go to North Korea? I immediately said yes. And I'm thinking, it's
free?
An autograph show.
Exactly. He's thinking cash. First class goes, you know, $100 an autograph. Which is it, like a year's salary? Oh, yeah, he's a man of the people. You know, this is not working. You know, Jordan might have to get involved now because Kim Jong-un doesn't want to talk to Donald Trump anymore. Did you see that story?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, that yesterday.
So
he announced he doesn't want to talk anymore.
Bring in the ambassador, Ambassador Rodman.
And then there was this pearl of wisdom.
What do you guys do when you hang out?
We play basketball.
Do you do things to make him feel like he can play? Or are you ever like, all right, f*** it, I'm going to play for real to show you ain't s***?
No.
When last time you talked to him?
Last year. They always call.
Really?
You got to have flip phones.
What's going on? You know what year this is, right?
My phone's always tapped.
Oh, s***.
You know, the people don't know that. If people finally know that, my phone's always tapped.
Wow. Interesting development.
Oh, I'm sure Kim Jong-un's happy to hear that. Emperor Un, wait till you find out. Kevin Hart, who, by the way, you're the only man taller than in the world. Kevin Hart just found out that Kim Jong-un's phone is tapped. So next time Kim Jong-un goes over to North Korea, he's not coming back. He is especially stupid. I mean, it's a special kind of stupid. I
really hope his phone is tapped.
I'm sure it is.
It's got to be, right? I mean, there's something. They got to have some sort of look into the private talks between Dennis and Kim Jong-un.
I like how they're both sitting in ice baths the whole time they're having this conversation.
Is it
comfortable?
I mean, can you just believe that? I mean, literally, the fate of the entire West Coast is sitting
in his hands.
Is sitting on this moron with a tapped flip phone who kicked a photographer in the cojones for getting in his way when he was a Chicago Bull. And made out with Madonna. I don't know. He was, as I said, he was the Pete Davidson of his day.
Yeah.
He had all the big celebrity
Pete Davidson women.
Davidson
moving on with Kaia Gerber now. Cindy Crawford's daughter. How about that?
Yeah. That's
another thing for you to get mad about.
Mm-hmm.
Number two.
Joe Pesci's got a new album out. What? You know, Joe Pesci, he's in The Irishman, which is going to be on Netflix next week, the 27th.
I got to see that.
Joe Pesci has not been in a movie, in a real movie, in 16 years. And it's been 22 years since he was in a major movie.
Home Alone?
In a major role.
I'm just wondering if it was Home Alone. I can't think of another movie.
Don't ask questions I don't know the answer to. Anyway, the point is, Mr. Roper told us that. And so he'd been spending a lot of time sort of on a beach and on a golf course. And he, you know, did his time as an actor. He loved it. But he was brought back for this because there's a whole de-aging process the actors are going through. They're using the technology, that digital technology, to make them younger because this spans a 40-year period in their lives. It's really, Mr. Roper says it's one of the best films of the year, if not the best film of the year. He'll give
us
more details on that coming up. But Pesci's got an album, and, Maroon 5's Adam Levine is on it. You want to hear what it sounds like? Here you go. Here is Adam Levine and Arturo Sandoval and, I'm assuming, Joe Pesci.
But every time you're near, my courage disappears. Don't know if I'll get through.
I don't think Joe Pesci should be doing this.
That's him?
I love him in everything.
Yeah, that was him.
I make a fool of myself.
and Levine. There's a marked difference between the two of them. All right, I've heard enough. This is coming out on the 29th.
Go Joe Pesci.
Joe needs a...
Branching out.
Joe could use a few extra bucks. I don't know. Is the Goodfellas money driving up? I don't know.
I think he's okay.
I love Joe Pesci.
Me too.
It just is.
I got to see this movie.
But who knew?
The Irishman.
All right, and finally...
Number one.
And now it's time for the Rokan Show's You Make the Call.
Ouch. That hurt my ears.
Things just got a little bit awkward on MSNBC's Hardball with Chris Matthews last night when Congressman Eric Swalwell of California was being interviewed about the recent public impeachment hearings into President Donald Trump and...
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. And the complaint that I've heard from Republicans all last week was that you don't have anyone who heard the call.
Oh, God. Right, just keep going. Whoever denied it, supplied it. Did he deny it?
He denied it. He just kept moving.
He's been asked about it.
Yeah.
But he just
he does deny it. Doesn't he deny it? I think he denies it publicly, yeah. Uh-huh. So I saw it in a tweet. He had a tweet about his fart, and he denied it. Now, we have Rokan Show Instant Slow-Mo here.
Okay, that'll
so
help.
That'll help us. Go ahead.
Ask the Ukrainians to help them cheat an election.
I don't know that helps determine anything. It just sounds grosser.
Well, what you're waiting for there is to see if his vocal tone changes.
Jumps up a little bit.
Right, jumps again. There's like a clinching kind of a sound. So let's listen. Let's listen again.
Ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
I think so.
Okay, pause.
I think there's a pause. Yeah. Can you go back to real time again for us? Just I want to hear it in real time, and then we'll be done with this.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Yes. Now, we have Gene Serator in the booth who can also help us with this. Actually, we needed Dr. Jim Adams. He could have helped us. He could have been our medical director on that. What do you think, doctor?
Let's go to our Konica Minolta swing vision slow cam here. Gene, what do you see here?
Now,
what are you seeing? What are you hearing?
Key camera.
Right.
You made the call. Yeah, I'd say so.
I'd think so.
Either that or Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews would be my prime suspect there.
Never not funny.
Remember when Rom did that? Didn't Rom do that on some television thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Charlie Rose. Not the first time that's happened in Charlie Rose, would be my guess. But it's time to do it.
Yeah,
yeah,
there's not much more to say.
No, we got to lock this thing up.
The top five at five.
I want Joe Pesci to sing that jingle, by the way. If we could get him to do that.
I'm not sure we do.
No, I don't think so.
Great actor.
Don't forget that coming up December 6th, that is, let me do a little math here. Let's see, today is that is 2 weeks from Friday.
Gee.
How
Christmas
is that
party?
Possible?
2 weeks from Friday?
2 weeks from Friday. What day is today? Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Feels like Thursday already. I don't know how that happened.
It does. It's Tuesday the 19th.
Okay. So 2 weeks from Friday. Because Friday then, right, is going to be the 22nd? What is it going to be? Whatever it's going to be. It's two weeks from
22nd.
Friday.
Yeah, 22nd. It is this Friday.
All right. So that's going to be December 6th. And where are we going to be? We're going to be in Tinley Park. Where are we going to be? We're going to be at the Tinley Park Convention Center, which is right off of I-80 and Harlem Avenue. And we are going to be throwing the party of the century. Everyone is welcome. We ask in exchange, because there is a quid pro quo here, we ask that you bring a toy for the United States Marine Toys for Tots program. I'm telling you right now, there is a quid pro quo. We are asking you to do that. In exchange for you attending this. Now, we're not going to throw you out if you don't, but, the kids aren't going to be happy. You don't want to do that. And the Marines aren't going to be happy, and the Marines are going to be there. So remember, the more toys you bring, the better off everybody is. Marines will be happy. The kids will be happy. Mm-hmm. Don't want to make the Marines unhappy. Don't want to make the kids unhappy. It's Christmas time. It's the holiday season. There's people, there's kids all over the Chicagoland area. Thousands of them who do not have an opportunity for a toy this Christmas. Why not help them out? So here's what you're going to get. You're going to get a live show from 3 to 5:30 in the afternoon. Then you're going to get the Ides of March in a concert. It's going to be, so the Carnarvon wagon's going to roll. And once that Carnarvon wagon rolls, look out! It turns into something. We got Sweet Alley's Gluten-Free Bakery. You can sample treats from them. Not tweets. That's, and you don't want that.
No,
treats.
We don't want to do that.
Architect of Chicagoland's going to be there with a photo booth. The chance to win door prizes, including a winter getaway package from Hilton's of Chicago. We did this last year, man. People love this. This is like a great staycation in downtown Chicago.
Nothing better.
Get away from the kids. You know what I'm saying? Signed memorabilia from the White Sox. Tickets to see Casey and the Sunshine Band at the Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo. Apparently, we bought out the house, so we're just giving the tickets away for that show. Plus, we got tickets to see the Museum of Science and Industry and Shedd Aquarium, which that's not an inexpensive ticket, you know, if you could take the family.
No, it is not.
You know, if you want to take
the family. Totally worth it.
Kind of a deal. Details at WGNRadio.com/events. It's all presented by American Sale. Bring the fun home for the holidays. And sponsored by Apple Chevrolet, Architect of Chicago, and Hilton's of Chicago, Dibs.com. By the way, that's Hilton's of Chicago, Dibs.com. And Sweet Alley's Gluten Free Bakery. And I would like to say, along those lines, if you're not able to make it and you still want to donate, or maybe you do it twice. Maybe, you know, you're in the neighborhood and you've bought a bunch of toys. You want to stop by Apple Chevrolet, 8585 West 159th Street in Tinley Park. You could do that, drop off the toys, and then you come to the party later. And bring a Barbie with you. And bring a toy. See what I did there? Mm-hmm. All right. So that is, it's my way of telling you that that is what's happening 2 weeks from Friday. I can't believe December 6th is in 2 weeks.
I know. I remember when we were first planning this party, it just seemed like the world away. And now, boom, it's here.
And Thanksgiving is next week. And I'm already dreading it now. I don't know how this happened. I was so looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the cooking part. I'm looking forward to the, you know, the knife skills.
I love that part of it. And the eating part.
And then I'm worried that there might be knife skills actually at the dinner part. That's the part that worries me. There's a lot of conflict in this family. It's just a lot. I have a lead apron that I wear, you know, like I'm working with nuclear fizzle kind of things.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
That's what I have. That's what I cook in, a lead apron.
Is there a knife for like resistant apron?
Sure, the lead apron, that'll stop almost
anything.
Oh, the
lead wall. Okay, yeah. Good. Okay, I see what you're doing there.
I got that. Got it.
Everything's covered for all the weaponry that might be utilized.
Exactly. I'm you know, because I think my family's packing, and sometimes they just bull rush you, which is a whole other deal.
That's what uncles do to little kids.
Right.
Hey, good to see you.
Yeah, that happens. That happens in my family.
Shake your hand a little too hard.
Right. Next thing you know, it's like
hug you a little too much.
Khalil Mack is bearing down on you from last season.
Oh. Ouch.
Oh.
Ouch.
Oh, was that unfair, Kevin? Oh, I think that might have been unfair.
I'll allow it.
Kevin's going to allow it.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'm not sure I would.
All right, coming up on the program, wait till you hear this. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, my God. You talk about maybe the dumbest thing you've ever heard in a school for a school science project. We will tell you about that. But first, Lauren Lapko, what's happening in the skies and on the roads? I don't even want to think about what a poop show that is going to be. Dumpster fire of beyond dumpster fires.
Season had a good run.
No, it really didn't.
No, it didn't.
No, it did not, Kevin.
Really? A lot of hope in the beginning.
Kevin, it didn't run at all, actually. Yeah. That's kind of
never
problem.
Got off to a run.
Oh, I see what she did. Look at that. Welcome from downtown. All right. We'll talk about this in the 6 o'clock hour. Adam Hogue is going to be here. We got a couple of sportsy things happening there. And then Jane Montours is going to be with us.
She going to do yoga with you guys in the studio?
She's going to bring a goat with her, and then lie down on the ground and have the goat crawl on her, because she's on CLTV after us. She's got that.
She's kind of on CLTV all the time.
Right. Now it's going to be cool. She's actually in the studio. It's all we ever see is her on the TV.
Staying Healthy, or what's the name of that show?
Living Healthy.
Living Healthy. Yeah,
Living Healthy.
Yeah. She's on Living Healthy, and she's also doing she's a DIY expert.
She is. She can, find things at a Goodwill or a store like that and then bring them back and turn it into pillows and quilts. And, you know, she's one of those people that just knows how to do that. She makes, her own dresses.
Yeah. She'll build a nuclear reactor out of stuff she finds at Goodwill. I like people like that.
Well, that's, MacGyver it, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll find out from her what has happened. She's going to be, actually, at Tree Time That's the most important. The Treetime Christmas Creations are very dear friends. It's a one-of-a-kind event that they're having, and she's going to be a part of that. So she's going to be here to tell us about that. Okay. So I promised to tell you this story. This is from downstate, LaSalle County. There was a project that asked kindergartners and first graders to go home. A little science project in the elementary school there. LaSalle County Elementary School. A LaSalle County. Leland Elementary, actually.
Okay.
I'm sure they appreciate the plug. They were notified, the parents there, school administrators were notified by the parents, that a junior high school student worked with the kindergarten and first grade students and suggested a science experiment.
Mm-hmm.
That they go home and go to their parents' medicine cabinet and see if they could open up the childproof bottles.
Uh-oh. I can see where this one's heading.
Oh.
Yikes.
The letter that went home to the parents said, in this project, the student collected data on how fast the kindergartner or first grader could open different medicine bottles. Now, this happened without sending proper permission to parents of the students who participated in this activity.
Oh.
I like how they call it an activity, like it was real.
Was she like, if it starts with an O, just bring it. We'll see if it's good. That is the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
Side effects may include... But on Monday, after speaking with teachers, superintendent said in an interview that the junior high school student may have shown some students how to open the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not done maliciously.
What? The whole reason you have the childproofing on the medicine bottles is so the childs don't know how to do it.
Yeah. But I think...
So, you know, it's not supposed to show them how to do it.
But it was not malicious.
Oh, okay. Whoopsie.
I think this... Middle school students going to have to retake middle school, I think, if you want to know the truth. Now, the superintendent said that she had learned that the junior high school student was modeling her experiment on online sample science fair experiments that test childproof containers to see if they're actually childproof.
And then you show them how to do it.
Seems a bad way to prove a point or do whatever fits your agenda.
I'll show them.
I'll show them.
They quote a person here, Matt, whose daughter is a kindergarten student at Leland. So another parent called him Saturday to tell him that when she was taking out her prescription bottle, her son told her he could open the bottle.
Oh, my gosh.
And then this guy was like, he called his five-year-old daughter and go, pull out a bottle. Go, can you open this bottle? He go, oh, yeah, sure. No, I learned all about it in school.
You want me to weigh that, too? Oh, gee. I could tell you what profit you may make from that as well.
The seventh grader told me I can get $50 a pill.
Oh, gosh.
I'd love to see a list of
so
bad student projects. I remember when I was in school, third, fourth, fifth grade, we had a project where you had to go home, and it was like, write a letter to your parents as if you were never going to see them again or something
what?
Like that.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, that was the premise.
Were
it was
you
basically
the whole time?
No, I probably didn't even do it. But one of the parents, some parents were freaking out because they found, like, rough drafts of these notes kids were writing to their parents. Like, they thought they were, like, goodbye
drafts.
Letters or, like, horrible, something horrible.
I can just imagine Kevin's,
so
though.
So sad.
Dear Ma, I know I'm never going to see you again, but could you please tell me where the Hot Pockets are? And if... Aunt Joan has the recipe for the meatloaf.
And could she make a year's supply for me in advance?
Before you go and I never see you again, could you just cook a lot of stuff for me? Signed, little Kevin.
So I could put it in my red wagon and be on my way.
Hey, there were parents driving to school like that after, like, you know, kids got dropped off and the parents like cleaning up or whatever. And then on the desk, you see your kid writing like...
A goodbye letter.
Thank you, mother, for everything you've done over the past 8 years of my life.
Oh, my gosh. I'd be horrified if I saw
Everyone
that.
Everyone was like, yeah, parents weren't happy. Yeah, bad. Put it in the list of bad student project ideas.
All right, well, this whole show has really been based on bad things that happen at school.
It started out that way.
Yeah, with the safe room, what do they call them? The quiet rooms?
Quiet rooms,
right?
That they have for kids who are misbehaving, that they put them in there for isolation time.
Yeah, basically a jail cell.
Mm-hmm. Put them in, yeah.
And now
solitary confinement.
Send the kids home to open up grandma's OxyContin bottles.
Take the medicine and write a goodbye letter. Well, that's just a double. Such bad ideas.
So the parents learned about it because they were sharing it on Facebook, too. It's just, that's the other part. Like, what are my kids learning in school?
Right.
Now, right. Go to a cabinet. If you find a brown bottle, pour out half of it. See if it takes, you know, an hour or two for your parents to notice. But leave the bottle by you.
Oh, my God. And you see this stupid thing that happened in Naperville Central?
Mm-mm.
Just a just not too far away from the Buffalo Wild Wings in question, if you know what I mean.
I do.
Yeah.
I think I do.
Mm-hmm.
Are they related, though?
Naperville Central High School students posted a, not all of them, this is a select few idiots, mm-hmm. posted a photo of a black student on Craigslist under the title Slave for Sale, Naperville.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Naperville not having a good run lately.
No. And you know what? They thought they were having a bad week a couple weeks ago when I said they were the swingers capital of Northern Illinois. Wouldn't you rather be known as that?
Thing. Yeah. What was the indicator again? A flamingo or white rocks?
You get the white rocks in the driveway or
a
pineapple sculpture,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, pineapples or flamingos, yeah.
Turns out those are the tells.
Yes.
So this little Naperville swinger central, and then this happened.
That's why I do all my political fundraising in Naperville.
Jeez.
I love it.
Thanks,
thank
Ted
you,
Cruz.
Thank you, Senator Cruz.
Hoping you're nowhere near the election next year.
I hope he is, so he can continue to drop in on this show.
I hear Arlington, Texas is like that, too. I think I'll go there.
He has all those bizarre challenges, doesn't he? He did play basketball or something with, what was it, Jimmy Kimmel or something?
Yeah.
And then he... The queso
didn't he do
incident.
It, right. And I think he also did it, something with hot sauce, where he like poured, mm-hmm. drank hot sauce.
Oh, God.
Oh, it hurts so good. I just go down, it's like stinging, and then it's hot, and then all of a sudden you feel better.
630, don't believe it. In Naperville, they're very welcoming. So a lot of people speaking up for their neighborhood.
Yeah, well, these kids from District 203... They're in a little bit of trouble. The school worked hard to figure out who they were, who put it up.
I'll bet.
It's
disturbing.
Said, yeah, they were like, does not represent the values of Naperville Central and all that, which is true. I'm certain that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But you got morons. They always have morons. And then having the Buffalo Wild Wings thing, and then that story got worse. The more you read about it, the more you found out about it.
Mm-hmm.
That guy had been going to that place for over a year. He and we're assuming his spouse, him.
It was a woman who was with him dining regularly.
Right.
They both were regulars. That's how they were described.
And this guy, again, reportedly had a swastika tattoo.
Yeah.
I mean,
and wouldn't allow people of color to serve him.
Right. So you're like.
And that had been going on.
What are you doing? So. Anyway, so yeah, it's a bad thing. Let's go back to swingers. Yeah. If I'm the mayor of Naperville, you know what I'm doing today?
You're promoting that.
I'm promoting the swingers thing. I'm going to change the story. I think we've learned that. That's a very, if you do that, uh-huh. people, you distract.
Look over here.
Yeah, distract him with something. Sure, you've had a couple bad racist incidents, but you know what you do? We're the swinging capital of Northern Illinois. Put it on Facebook.
Let's return our image to love.
Yes,
hate.
Love. Right. Leave your keys in the pumpkin. That's code, I think, for swinger code for something. Oh, man. All right. Coming up on the other side of all of this, like I mentioned, Jane Monsours is going to be here with her goats. And Adam Hogue is going to be here to discuss what happened in this is the Bears' day off, right?
Yesterday.
Which is funny. Yesterday was their day off.
They get a day off?
They get a day off.
Do they deserve a day off?
They actually took a day off on Sunday, too, as it turns out. So
didn't show up.
Yeah, we're going to just have to see what happens there. So he'll tell us what they're... So they're back in... They're actually practicing again?
They're back at Hallis Hall. I don't think they think the,
this is a film day?
Study, yeah, and all that, and back on the field tomorrow.
Oh, I see, because it's a Sunday night game. So
Nagy always has Monday off. A lot of teams go on Monday and have Tuesday off. They do it Monday off, back at it Tuesday.
That's working great for him. You might want to rethink that. So Adam is going to be here to talk about it, too. And actually some good news for the White Sox. Interesting Hall of Fame news for our beloved Chicago White Sox. And that's all coming your way. It's 6 o'clock. Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. Did I mention that the news was in the Northwestern Medicine newsroom? I don't think I did. So just in case I didn't, I just did, in case somebody's asking. All right, can I just enter into a conversation here with Adam Hogue? Couple different things we want to talk about. We'll get to the Bears in just a second, because that's not the good news now, is it?
Nugget. No good.
Adam?
I'm here, guys.
Adam?
Oh.
Adam? No, not.
The Bears is no, yeah, no, not
not,
good news.
Not the good news. All right, let's talk about the good news for just a second.
Okay.
Paul Konerko, famed former Chicago White Sox, is now eligible for the ballot, right? And yes. For the Hall of Fame?
He is.
He is. He is on the ballot, and he is my all-time favorite White Sox player.
Probably not going to get in. But yeah. If he does, it would probably be down the road by one of the, what do they call it, the Veterans Committee now, which is a collection of former players and managers who vote guys in, which is interesting because if they can't get in by the voting process by the Baseball Writers of America, it just sort of seems to undermine the entire process of it because it's just all these like old-timey baseball dudes that got together and they're probably just feels like they're trying to help their old baseball pals get in.
All right, so. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, but it's like, okay, let's put this through a voting process.
I do think there's valid questions about the way it's done. I do think that historically, though, there should be a process for looking back through time and kind of correcting errors that have happened in the past because, you know, discussions tend to change over time where you say, hey, wait a minute, this guy from the 60s compared to some of these guys now actually is up there and should be in the Hall of Fame. Something like that.
Yeah, I agree, because you have different perspective as time goes on. Konerko finished with 439 homers. Only 43 players in history have more than that.
Only how many?
Only 43 players in the history of baseball.
So he's in the top 44.
Right. That's
pretty good.
I think like a lot of, you know, I don't think nationally he's viewed, obviously, he's viewed much differently here locally because everything he did for the White Sox, and Adam, you mentioned he's your favorite Sox player. I don't think you're alone there. I think there are a lot of people who would immediately name Paul Konerko if you asked them for their favorite player. So, six-time All-Star, hit at least 20 home runs 13 times.
That's impressive.
So. Yeah. It was,
he's got a World Series ring.
Got a World Series ring. No one ever forget that Grand Slam. In the World Series, so I don't think he'll get in through the voting process. Who knows? Over time, it could change the perspective of him.
Why are you? Do you agree, Lapka, on this?
What do you want me to tell you? Just what you want to hear?
No,
I think that he would make it, but
you do think he would make it? Because I'm just saying, White Sox fans are by their very nature what Bears fans are becoming incredibly. There's a sense that it's just not going to go right. Because I think, given those numbers, I mean, who else? Alfonso Soriano is on the ballot.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys that get on the ballot that it's surprising.
Don't you think Alfonso Soriano, between Alfonso Soriano and Paul Konerko, don't you think Paul Konerko at least is better than he is? Right?
So I always like to look at the similarity scores that Baseball Reference post, so it like kind of compares him to other players all time, mm-hmm. And he's up there with guys like Andres Galarraga, Jason Giambi, Orlando Cepeda, and Willie Stargell, who are in the Hall of Fame. Fred McGriff, Mark Teixeira. So
Giambi has similar numbers to Konerko. I would say my initial reaction is Konerko had a way better career than Giambi.
Yeah, these are just the similarity scores that Baseball Reference does.
And so Andres Galarraga, by the way, is my favorite Harry Carey mispronunciation of all time.
What did he say?
Galarraga.
Oh.
Every time. He could never get, especially,
that's a hard one.
Sort of post, post-drinky poo. He really had an issue with Andres Galarraga's name.
Sammy Sosa's on this ballot?
Mm-hmm. He's not going to get in. Konerko's second in RBIs in White Sox history, third in hits, fourth in runs, third in doubles, first in total bases in White Sox history.
Okay, so I mean, that I kind of think that you got. How many are going to get in on this?
Well, it could be. There's no like set number that they have to get to.
But it's
you have
generally
to get to a certain amount of voting.
Right.
I mean, there's normally two, three, a handful of guys, something like that. You have to get to a certain. What's the percentage again, Adam, of votes you have to get? It's like,
I forget the specific percentage, but I believe the way it works is everyone can put up to 10 players, vote for up to 10 players every year. So, and then you just get a certain amount of votes overall, you're in.
And if you don't get a certain amount, your name will eventually fall off the ballot for good.
Yeah.
Until the old timers put
until the old timers say, I liked them back in the day. We used to have beers together. Let's vote them in.
I'm trying to get in on the broadcast thing because I have actually been involved in two Major League Baseball broadcasts so far in my career, and I'm going to try and get in on the broadcaster, Dale. All right, let's check with Lauren Lapka what's happening on the roads and the skies.
It's an annual tradition like no other. Join WGN Morning News, Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggett, Sarah Jindra for Chicago's Thanksgiving Parade, Thanksgiving morning, starting at 8 a.m. on WGN-TV.
I like the idea of Sarah Jindra flying over the... She just is in a helicopter, dangling out of a helicopter.
Live coverage from Skycam 9?
Yeah.
And then they dress the helicopter up like a turkey.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Joe Donlan's going to be out there, he told us.
Turkeys can't fly. We learned that from WKRP in Cincinnati.
Oh. They still look cute when you wrap something up like a turkey.
When they did the radio promotion of throwing the turkeys out of a helicopter because they would fly. And then they found out that they could not fly.
So you just had splattered turkey?
Yes, it was basically a... Yeah. Wow. That's one of, that's terrible. That's why, actually, that was the best... If you want to know what really happens in a radio station, WKRP in Cincinnati basically was a...
Inside story, right?
Perfect television show. All right. Adam Hoge is joining us. We're talking about Chicago Bears now. And I don't feel good about the rest of the season. What do we know about Mitchell Trubisky today? Did he practice? Well, I mean, or was he at least, was he there? Was he walking? Was he hobbling?
Well, first of all, as God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. I got the reference, bro. I got you. There was no practice today, just meetings on Tuesday. So the first practice of the week will be tomorrow at Halas Hall, and we will see if he's out there or not. Here's kind of my prediction for how the week goes. I think he doesn't practice tomorrow. You got to make sure that this injury looks completely legit, right?
Right, yes, for
and
sure.
And then maybe by Friday he's limited, and then Sunday he plays.
Okay. This is what happens when the Bears don't get the message out, and people start wondering in the world of 2019 with social media. It was just crazy because NBC didn't have it. Nobody knew why he was out on the sideline. So people, of course, start speculating and wondering, and now we have a hip conspiracy theory. I mean, he clearly was hobbled. I mean, if you look back at some of the film, he looks like he's wincing a little bit after some throws, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, most of that is mostly visible on the coach's tape, which we don't even get access to until today. So now that comes out, and we see all the videos that are popping up on social media, and it's like, all right, yeah, he was legitimately hurt.
Listen, I winced after every one of his passes, too. Does not mean I was hurt.
Well, but that's part of the problem, though. I mean, like, in retrospect, it looks like he's throwing off his back foot. He's not turning. But his mechanics are all over the place anyway. So live during the game, it doesn't look that different.
So what do you make of it, Adam? There is an injury there. How bad is it?
Well, it sounds like it's a... The easiest way I could put it is like a hip bruise. You know, he took a shot to his leg, and that can hurt. So now it's a pain. It's a pain tolerance issue. Can he get... You know, is the pain going to go away by Sunday?
If we want to look into it, let me ask you this question, Adam. Okay, even if it's a legit injury, right, why at that moment did Matt Nagy decide to do that? To have that deep conversation with him on the sideline, a national primetime game, and pull him when he had already played major. And I know they said, well, the injury kept
happened
getting
in the
worse.
Second quarter.
Happened late in the second quarter. He pulled him late in the fourth quarter. I understand the injury may have gotten worse. It just feels weird that how the whole moment went down.
Yeah, and part of it, it always goes back to how it's, you know, shown on television. Yeah. And there was obviously a message that was not communicated to NBC, and they thought it was a benching live. And so when you see that dramatic scene of Nagy talking to him, that's what it looks like. It looks like a benching. Now, I think
it
that
looked like he was crying too.
Yeah, well, look, Trubisky was trying to play through this thing. I don't think he was being completely truthful to the trainers and whoever was asking. I think that's obvious by the fact that no one ever saw him getting treatment. No one ever saw him. Like, in between series, shouldn't the trainers have been working on him? Shouldn't they have been trying to loosen that hip up if it kept getting tighter? So I think Nagy just eventually had to come to him and been like, look, I've been calling plays that require you to run. You can't run. You got to tell me the truth. And once the truth came out, he said, all right, I got to sit you. I think that's why it looks so emotional.
So this is what's going to happen. I bet you... they're going to bring in a veteran quarterback this offseason, and it'll be some competition for Trubisky in camp, and I still believe Trubisky will be a week one starter next season. I think we're already looking forward to next season because this one's over.
Yep.
I don't think Matt Nagy goes anywhere, and I don't think Mitch Trubisky goes anywhere, even on the depth chart, unless something goes, unless he's completely just garbage. But I think they're going to bring in a veteran, or maybe not even a veteran, a guy who's been here a few years, but kind of fell out of favor with another team. Give him some competition, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if Mitch Trubisky is still your week one starter next year.
Well, like, look at Tennessee right now. They go out and they sign Ryan Tannehill in the offseason, right? They sign him to sort of push Marcus Mariota. Well, now Mariota's benched, and Tannehill's the starter. And now Mariota could be the Bears, the guy the Bears signed this offseason, and he could push Mitch Trubisky, and maybe Trubisky gets benched. And then
they're in quarterback hell. Yeah. Like they have been for 100 years. It's fitting.
Can't miss on the quarterback. You just can't miss on the quarterback. The Bears missed on the quarterback.
It is the curse of Sid Luckman.
It's something,
since,
man.
Sid Luckman died, the Bears, not even since he died, since he left football to invent, then sell, then buy back, then sell, then reinvent, then buy back, and sell the same company like 40 times. He was a very good business guy. And a great quarterback. I don't see that.
How do Bears fans, during the 80s run and McMahon, how was he viewed?
He was hurt all the time.
But everybody loved him because he was a spunky quarterback,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, and when he played, I mean, he was like a tough-as-nails guy, but he got hurt. But he got hurt. Think about it. That play, was it here or was it in Green Bay? It was here.
In 86, where, right?
Charles Martin.
Down.
Yeah. Picked him up and then, you know, threw him on his shoulder and stuff like that. And he'd always had things. I mean, remember, he got like a fork in his eye when he was a kid, right?
That's why he wears sunglasses.
Right? So, I mean, he's just a tough guy. And he was like, he had that sort of bruising thing. But you got to remember, in the 84 season, he didn't play all that much. And they were a very good team in 84. And then in the 85 season, he didn't play all those games. Some of those, like the Dallas game, the 42-0 game, he wasn't starting in that game. He didn't play in that game at all. So it wasn't. It was just the idea that he was there. And they didn't really, you know, that was not a quarterback-driven team anyway, right? Because Willie Gault would just run like hell, and then they would underthrow him, right? But all you had to do was hand the ball to Walter Payton.
Yeah. Adam, just, I don't know, give me something. I don't even know what to ask you. It's like, it's over. The season's over. We already kind of know where they're going to be in camp next year.
Well, let me. All right, this is what I'll give you. Yes, this season's over in terms of the playoffs. So, but to me,
playoffs.
It is so important for Mitch to still play these last six games because the evaluation is not complete. You need to see. I actually thought he was building. I thought he played okay Sunday night.
He wasn't atrocious. I mean, he wasn't good, but he wasn't completely horrendous.
So if he can still build on this, that means he had a great game against the Lions, an okay game against the Rams, but if he can continue to have better performances than he obviously did earlier in the season, then that helps you complete this evaluation for 2019 as you go into 2020, because these decisions are going to be incredibly hard this offseason.
But doesn't he have a noggin problem? I mean, isn't this really kind of where we are here? Because if you look at the draft, what was it? Unfortunately, Ed Obradovich read from his paper yesterday when we were talking about this and told us about the full evaluation of what Mitchell Trubisky was and why Ryan Pace actually drafted him back, you know, when he was at North Carolina. Mm. And none of that really rang true in terms of being able to quickly identify defenses, and he was a pocket passer, and he was, you know, had great passing mechanics. All those things have fallen apart. Now, you know, perhaps it was true when North Carolina was playing Coastal Carolina and some of the other dog teams that they might play, but then they got to play Clemson, right? And so they got other, you know, North Carolina wasn't winning national championships, and they weren't in the playoff.
But the bigger problem was that when he was at North Carolina, I mean, they were making the decisions for him. He was in one of those offenses where you're in shotgun every single play. You get to the line of scrimmage, and then you look over to your bench, and they tell you, based on what they see, the coaches, what to do. And then you snap the ball, and it's usually a half-field read. You're not reading the whole field, and everything's easier on the quarterback. So that's the problem with making these type of evaluations when there's only 13 games.
Oh, now you tell Ryan Pace. Hey, let me throw something else at you here. I mean, is it possible that a major trade, you package up some of the more significant players or one of the significant players and you get a draft pick?
I would say that's possible. It's hard for me to be convinced that they're completely done with Trubisky, which is why I want to see him play these last six games.
Yeah, there's no reason he shouldn't start these games. You might as well see this over, see what else he can do.
And if he's awful the rest of the way, then I would say absolutely that's a possibility. It should be a possibility anyway. Like, how about a guy like Kyle Fuller? Kyle Fuller's a good but not shutdown cornerback. But he's viewed highly in the NFL. If he can get you a high pick that frees up some cap space, now it creates a hole on your defense at a position where you don't have a whole lot of depth. But those are the desperate things you have to do when you fail at drafting a quarterback, number two overall.
I know what I think we do. I think we put Eddie Pinheiro on the block and see who didn't watch the game.
Still a kicker problem, too.
How about that?
Yeah, the problem is with the scoring. This was my problem in college. The problem is with the scoring.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a total breakdown in the ability to score.
Yeah.
I mean, they put together a good drive to start the game and Pinheiro misses. It's just anytime something goes right, they take a step back. This whole season has just been anything positive was followed up with something really bad.
It's been the opposite of last year. Everything went the Bears' way last year. Yeah. The schedule, the injuries, the good mojo. The dance parties, the celebrations.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about this Club Dub. Right now, I'm closing Club Dub down.
Yeah, you can't do Club Dub, right, if you win anymore?
I'm
going to
bottle blonde that mother right now.
Yeah, right. I'm going to try to give it a bad Yelp review.
Right, I'm going to try to pull their license.
Start the community meetings.
Yeah, because, I mean, even if they win, they could go 10-6, miss the playoffs, and no Club Dub. No Club Dub for you. You won a game, good. That's what you're supposed to do, and then you go home. You take the next day off, and you come back, and you look at the tape, and you try to win the next one. And if they lose to the lowly New York Giants, when the Jets played the Giants, the Las Vegas line was, no one's going to win this game.
Please tell me you didn't watch that game.
I'm just saying, I did because it's like the two of the worst teams in the history of football were playing each other. Oh. So you just got to see what that's like. But if they don't beat the New York Giants, New York Football Giants, as Regis would say, you got bigger problems. All right, Adam Hogue, thank you very much.
Thanks,
I can't talk about this anymore because now Kevin's got me upset. Everybody's upset. Thank you. And as God is my witness, I did think that turkeys could fly. So did Anna. Thank you.
We had some texters tell us that wild turkeys do fly.
Oh, they jump and they go.
Turkeys
for a little...
roost in trees at night, so how do you suppose they got up there? No, 608.
Yeah, well, they kind of. It's like a jumping thing. You can't throw them out of a helicopter.
No. Bad idea.
Lauren Lapka. Wait, no. Kim, yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Kevin. News coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the top of the hour, in case anybody asks you. Where am I getting my news? Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, Jane Monzores is joining us. She is our stablemate at CLTV.
Yes, I am.
Yes, what we do at at the CLTV, we're on from 3 to 4 every afternoon, this show, every weekday afternoon. And Jane is on from 4 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon on CLTV.
All the time.
Yes.
Jane all the time.
It really
it's
is.
It's the Jane channel in a lot of ways.
Yes. I notice, and it's you when you watch your show, there's you. There's a lot of stretching.
Yep.
There's yoga pants, which we learned, by the way, are ruining the environment. That's a whole other world. We could talk about that.
Made from plastic.
Right. Sometimes there's a goat crawling on your head.
Goats.
Yeah. They have a tendency to sort of rerun the stuff on the.
Have they been playing the goats a lot?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the goat yoga. So I actually fell off a stool that morning, and then I went to goat yoga, and then these goats were scratching my back, and I'm like, this is the greatest workout ever. I'm like, I'm getting ripped by these goats, and my head hurts.
By the way, I hope
they don't play that over and over.
It looks uncomfortable and kind of stinky.
Those baby goats were a little bit big. I mean, when you're saying goat yoga, use little baby goats. These were like maybe ready to be done. Yeah.
So I don't get the whole goat yoga thing. I love goats. I'm okay with yoga. I like yoga. But it's because they're therapeutic?
Well, they're fun and they're playful and they're cute. And so when you're in the middle of a pose and there's a cute little goat licking your face or standing on your back, you're like, oh, that's cute. So it's supposed to lower your stress while you're doing the yoga.
Okay.
Doesn't that make sense?
I guess. I'm not really that stressed when I do yoga because that's the whole purpose.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, I I don't know. I can't believe they keep playing that segment.
I know they just did.
It's fun, though. Fun to watch.
It's fun to watch. Because
I like goats.
Take a very close look at my back the next time that they air that.
A Bruder film. I'm going to slow it up and take a look at it.
Don't encourage that. You really don't want to encourage that.
Out of all of the healthy foods I've tried, all the exercises, I genuinely like everything. People, you ever done something you don't like? No, I like it all. The goat yoga?
Didn't like it.
Not a fan.
All right. Okay, so now we know the truth.
Yep.
Finally, the truth comes out.
Now we'll know when we see that.
I'm allowed to say that.
What's the
sure.
Well, you're too late now. What's like the favorite food thing you've ever done?
Well, you know, we do a lot of we did a segment. And we had to go shopping with chefs, and we had to make a healthy meal for four people under a certain amount of money. I was making a baby beet goat salad with the chef mm-hmm. at the time at the I think it was the Ritz Carlton, and he was from France. He's like, "The baby beets? Would you like the baby beets?" And I'm like, "What?" Blah blah blah. And I thought, "No, I'm not going to like this at all." And I loved it.
Oh,
is there a difference between the big beets and the baby beets?
I don't know. Oh. They were delicious.
But he wanted baby beets.
He wanted
the baby.
I think it was
baby beets.
The look of the baby beets. But yeah, it was all good. I can't remember any other food I've eaten that I don't like.
Beets
like
are back in. You know, they used to be.
Oh yeah.
Remember?
Oh, yeah,
the beets
back.
It was just sort of like the salad bars.
Well, the beet is. Are they using the beet for like the fake meat too?
Yeah.
Isn't the beet part
yes,
of that? That
absolutely.
Whole deal?
You're gonna get a veggie burger with beets.
Yeah. That's the. I don't know.
I wonder if that chef's doing it now.
This. Let's hope I want to meet the Beyond guy. That's what I want to meet, or a woman, or whoever invented that, because they're gonna make some dough on that. Now,
tasty.
let's talk about what you're doing.
Yes.
This weekend on Saturday, you can meet Jane Manzoor. Wait, you know, hold on. Before I do that, I don't have enough time to even get the plug in. Well, I'll get it in twice. Let's do it that
okay.
way. All right. Perfect. So, Tree Time Elf Help event with TV host and DIY expert Jane Manzoor.
And she really is. She can do everything.
So I like to not only work out and eat right, but I also like to make things.
Okay. And we'll learn all about that at Tree Time Christmas Creations, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington on Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. You get up early, too, don't you?
I get up early because, you know, the early bird catches the worm, but I want everyone to come out to this event. It's like a whole show. We've got trends. We've got DIY. We've got inspiration, like taking your Thanksgiving table and turning it into your Christmas table. So there's a lot going on there. So you got to come up at 8. We've got some mimosas, and then you can stay for
perfect.
The show. That's how I get you there.
Mm-hmm.
And we got some breakfast. And then we've got prizes, and we've got trivia, and then it trails right off into a beautiful day of shopping at 10 a.m. when the store opens.
Oh,
what a fun event!
Oh,
what a
so
fun
it's like
day!
A pre,
it's a pre.
Like you're in there, and then you get to choose
tree
the tree that you
exactly.
want.
Exactly, and you get a 15% off that day.
Wow! All right, hold on one second.
Bonus.
Jane Munzer, standby. Lauren Lapka tells us what's happening on the roads and in the skies. If you watch CLTV, there are three things you're going to see on CLTV. You're going to see the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. You're going to see the Steve mm-hmm. Cochran Show in the morning
right.
from 9 to 10. And you're going to see Jane Manzoor. That's it. She's on the other 22 hours of the day on CLTV.
Thank you. Have you counted how many push-ups I've done on that show?
That's a lot of push-ups. I've seen by the way, you've got very nice technique.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I get.
Are you allowed to say that?
Well, push-up technique. I think I can say that.
Because that's weird. Sounds weird.
Every time. They do, you know, she's doing that.
I know. Jane's incredibly fit. Incredibly.
Right. And I understand it because I'm not. And when I watch her with you're with a trainer or something,
yeah,
it's always
with a trainer.
Yeah, there's like a trainer, like explaining some trainer has a specific technique that's better than everybody else's training
absolutely.
Technique.
Absolutely.
Are you one of those people who does the smoothie every day?
No, I don't do the smoothie every day. I wake up every day, I go to the gym because I get excited to go to the gym. And then I come home and I go, boy, what can I make today? Whether it's food or making something, like hand making something. That's what I do every day. It's what
totally
I think
your
about.
Passion.
I know.
What did you hand make today?
Today I handmade you a drink, actually.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, so
didn't miss that.
I also made some Greek chicken. Mm. And then I also made this ugly Christmas sweater pillow for you.
Oh, that's a fun idea. So you take the ugly Christmas sweater.
Right.
And did you just... How did you wrap that around the pillow?
Well, exactly. So this is what we're going to talk about at the Elf Help event, because we all need a little elf help every now and then. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Self-help, elf help.
It's a Tree Time Elf Help event.
Yes, exactly.
With TV host and DIY expert Jane Manzoor. And it's Saturday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. at Tree Time Christmas Creations, 22102 North Pepper Road in Barrington.
In Lake Barrington. Make
Lake
the trip.
Barrington.
If
Lake
you're
Barrington.
If you're right there, you're going to show up. If you got to make the trip, because we know traffic. It'll be nice and easy to get there.
It's going
to
be lovely.
And we'll, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you make that?
Okay.
I know this is radio. It's a little hard to explain, but it's like...
But you can get the idea if you just take a...
Bring show and tell to an audio medium. I know I shouldn't do it, but I want you to see how exciting this is. So this is an ugly Christmas sweater. No one's going to laugh at this anymore because you wore it last year. So cut the neckline off, cut the arms off, and then you're going to glue it, sew it, pin it, whatever you want, down three sides. And it's a slipcover in case you have an ugly pillow that looks like this.
You have a Donald Driver pillow? Is that an actual...
This is why I'm covering it up, because it's a Green Bay Packers pillow that sits in someone's room. So let's put an ugly Christmas sweater on it.
Is your husband a Green Bay Packers
fan? No. This Thank is God. Actually the an engineer from another station. He let me borrow it for a segment, but I thought it was fun to cover it up.
There we go.
Yeah. I would cover that up, too.
Exactly.
So great idea.
So if you have some old, or if you have your couch pillows and you're like, oh, I want to change these up for the holiday season, a little interior decorating, you just take your old sweater and turn it into, and it's a slip cover because then you just put it right over the top. It's open on the bottom.
Is that a good hostess gift too?
This is a fantastic
hostess
gift. You
show up with your ugly sweater and the pillow gift for the holiday decoration.
Yeah.
Pre-made. No.
Here, you can make this. But I've got the idea. But at that point, I would probably bring a regular polyfill pillow.
Yeah.
You can stuff inside.
Yeah, you can go to like Joann Fabrics or something.
And this is, I don't want you to be scared of sewing, Ro.
Okay.
Glue it.
I'll let you know.
Pin it.
I'll let you know when
staple
I
it.
Have any emotion about sewing. You know what I do though? I have sewn like buttons on, right? Like in the hotel room. You got the little sewing
little
kit.
Yeah.
Right, because you got it. Because like all of a sudden you landed somewhere and you're like, there's a button missing.
Yeah.
And you got it.
And that's all you got, right? That particular shirt.
And so, and that sometimes happens. And I can do that. But that's about it.
You should get a glue gun. Those are really,
yes.
That changes your life.
Oh, the glue gun, yeah.
Yeah, the glue gun changes the life.
Or
it really
you can
does.
Even use fabric glue if you want to glue up to three sides of this. It's a great gift. It's temporary. You're going to use it for the holidays, and then you're going to throw it away or use it next year. It's good. That's what I'm saying. Don't
you know
be
what?
Too committed.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to throw that away, and it's going to end up in some dolphin's blowhole in the Pacific, because that's what I've seen like in every single story this week about that.
The dolphin
and your
will
yoga
be,
pants,
will
too.
Will be wearing the sweater.
It turns out that if you live on the... We did the story yesterday. If you live on the West Coast, if you're in... And you got the yoga pants, and everybody on the West Coast has yoga pants.
They live
right?
in
that's
them.
The whole
yeah.
thing.
It's the outfit.
When you put it in the washing machine, it microparticles out the plastic. And then
into the water
into
supply.
The water.
Wow.
It goes into the water supply and then it goes out into the ocean and it ends up in the mussels and the oysters.
And the clams.
The particles
clams.
Leave your right. washer and go out into the ocean?
Yep. Right.
Uh-oh.
That's right. You're infecting
we need to get a new uniform.
Your clams with your yoga pants is what is happening.
It's all connected.
And then you're going to eat those and then it's going to be right back in you.
Right, but then yeah. but you weren't going to eat your yoga pants.
No, you
right?
were wearing
you
them.
Kind of are.
Imagine that some of those particles will go right yeah. through your skin.
So anytime saying. You eat clams, are you yeah. eating your yoga pants? Is that true?
So That's what do we
true.
Wear now? Jeans?
Exactly. I don't
jeans.
Know. Jeans.
You can't
right.
wear jeans.
Well, there's got to be. You know, before the yoga pants, people wore. What did, in
Suits.
India? What did they wear? They invented yoga. It's thousands of years old. They were not wearing yoga pants.
Are you sure?
In India. This is the most ridiculous conversation
kind
I have ever
is.
Had.
I was wearing yoga pants before I got here.
Can you?
We knew you would have a lot of yoga pants.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. All right. Now, what's happening again? I want
anymore.
You to just give me a run of show again for what's going to happen
know,
on Saturday
that
morning.
I said that. So, 8 a.m. doors open. I'm going to give you a mimosa, shake your hand, give you a kiss, whatever we do. We're going to dance some Christmas music, and we've got a light breakfast for you. And then we have a full show. So, we're going to do Christmas tree decorating trends with their stylist. Her name is Cassie Nicholas, who I think might be, you know, St. Nicholas, and her name is Cassie Nicholas, and she's amazing.
She's related.
She, right. And so she can decorate.
So she's Santa's
tree.
Daughter.
Right.
What you're
or elf help.
Right.
See
yeah.
how that
mm-hmm.
goes. So Cassie and I are going to go through all of these Christmas trends, like blue. And oh, by the way, flocking is back.
What? What is?
What's flocking?
Flocking
like
is back.
Like remember when geese the- do it, what happens?
You know, flocking when half the tree is white. You remember flocking
no,
from the
70s,
60s, and the 50s? That's what it like was
half
usually
of
popular.
It's white or just like the tops to make little, it look
oh,
like snow has
right.
fallen
yes.
on
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's a flock.
Right, right, right. How do you do that? What do you do that with?
Well, you can do that with lots of DIY remedies, but on this weekend, you can just buy your tree already flocked from
oh, pre-flocked.
Tree time. Yeah, pre-flocked.
I've been pre-flocked
but
before.
But if you're not ready to commit to a pre-flocked tree
yeah.
for
oh
your
my gosh,
main...
I'm lost.
Tree in your living room, then yeah. get a small flocked tree for one of the other rooms, because I'm a big fan of putting a tree in every room. I don't care how big your place is. If you have two bedrooms or, you know, whatever, or a three-room condo, put a tree in every room.
Okay.
That's what we're going to talk about, trends. So that's the first part of the show.
Okay. It's going great so far. Yeah. All right. So there's flocking. And then what happens after that?
Botanicals are happening.
That's 15 Novelty minutes. Lights. What happens after that?
Oh, that's like it's 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay.
We still have more mimosas. No, then we're going to do inspiration. So we're going to show you ways that you can set your Thanksgiving table and then change that easily into your Christmas table. If you're doing a lot of entertaining, mm-hmm. then you may not want to spend a lot of time on decorating a new table set. So you're just going to flip that over. This is where I'll show you some DIY trends like this one right here, which is a wine sleeve. This is your old denim jeans, the top of your jeans, and I've turned it into a wine bag. So I'm going to show you some simple and easy ways that you could decorate DIY, and then Cassie's going to show you ways that you can utilize some glitter and some botanicals and some pine that they already have in store to create all of these inspirations. It's really from the table to the door to the mantle to the walls. It's all over the place.
Very fun. And then when does the day complete? When is it complete? It's 8 a.m. bright and early. Then it goes
till 10.
Till 10.
And then we're doing some
and
hands-on.
Then you go shopping for your Christmas
hands-on
trees.
Making. And then we're going to send you to the tree forest to tie your ribbons. And then you're going to come back. And then we're going to do Jane's favorite things, which is always fun. And then we're going to go shopping.
So you get first dibs on the trees that are there.
Yes, you get first dibs on the trees. And all the accessories that are there, too, because things are selling out.
I know.
People are excited. Isn't that crazy?
Well, Tree Time does a great job.
They do.
If you want a prefab
outrageous.
Tree. Yeah, this is or whatever. I don't know what the exact term is for this for these trees. But
if you want an artificial tree.
No, don't say that. That's the wrong word.
That is the wrong word. That's what we used back in the day when my parents had one.
Right, it's an alternate tree. It's an alt tree.
Alternate tree. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, artificial prefab.
Yeah, it's a lifetime tree. That's what I'm gonna get all Don Draper on this thing and come up with a name for it. But
I think lifetime tree is a great
It's a lifetime tree, yes. Even though you should change it out every couple of years.
Yeah,
especially when the flocking it comes, does the whole thing. Who knows?
It's on trend.
All right, Tree Time Creations. That's all you need to know. You can meet Jane Monsoors at Tree Time Christmas Creations, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. There's going to be mimosas and flocking and trees, and you're going to tie something up. And then and you can go to Facebook, by the way, register on the Tree Time Facebook page.
WGN, go to our website. Oh. You can go right there and you can. It'll take you right where you can register.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jane. Appreciate it. We've got
good seeing you, Jane.
Blackhawks hockey coming your way in two.